I call the meeting to order. Appreciate it if you'd all take your seats. My name is Myron Fox, and it's my honor to be your moderator for the 2006 annual town meeting. I declare a quorum to be present. A member of the Sudbury clergy will address the hall. This year we are privileged to have Dr. William McIver, pastor of the Presbyterian Church.
Good evening. Will you bow for a word of prayer with me? Gracious and almighty God, creator of the world and its many peoples, thank you tonight for great blessings, for our land and its freedoms, for our commonwealth and its traditions, for our town and its beauty, neighborliness, and opportunities. Grant us tonight, as we are met here, a spirit of civility and concord, a desire for the common good, and the will to shape it in our lives and in our community. We ask, O God, that you would be with all the citizens of this town, the young, the aged, and all in between. Be with administrators and leaders, shopkeepers and merchants, workers and employees, and all those who serve us. Be with ministers and all who lead our religious and nonprofit organizations who care for the common weal. Be with our teachers and our students. Be with our police and fire and emergency personnel and all who protect and watch over our safety. And be with us who gather here tonight that in discussion and action we might do that which will be for the betterment of all. We are blessed, O God, and with your blessings come great responsibilities. So grant that we be wise and equal to the tasks and challenges to make Sudbury an ever better place in which to live and learn and serve. We pray this in the name of all that is holy. Amen.
Thank you. As you know, each year we have the Pledge of Allegiance led by a student at Lincoln Sudbury Regional High School. This year, the individual selected for that honor is Amy Daniels. Amy Daniels is an extraordinarily bright, energetic, athletically gifted, multi-talented, uniquely independent young woman, a leader among her peers. She exudes enthusiasm in each of her endeavors, be they academic or non-academic in nature. Amy has achieved academic success at LS in a variety of demanding high-level courses. Her senior course schedule is a strong one that includes an in-depth independent study in the biology of coral reefs. Without question, Amy is prepared to further her education in a multitude of directions. She has devoted an amazing amount of time to non-curricular activities, and in her participation has demonstrated many outstanding personal qualities. She sets a good example for others to follow, showing a definite capacity for leadership. A talented athlete, she has played on the school teams in soccer, varsity ice hockey, and varsity lacrosse, which is her first love. It is no surprise that Amy is very well liked and highly respected by her peers and her teachers alike. Amy? Could you all please rise?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The certified cash, according to the finance director, town accountant Suzanne Peterson, is $1,475,243 for the 2006 annual town meetings. There's lots of seats in the middle. We'll ask you to come in and sit down so we can proceed with the town meeting. I have examined and found in order the call of the meeting, the officer's return of service, and the town clerk's return of mailing. I recognize Chairman Lawrence O'Brien for a motion to dispense with the reading of the call of the annual town meeting, the officer's return of service, notice, and the reading of the individual articles of the warrant. Is there a second? There is. All those in favor, please signify by raising your cards. All those opposed? It is unanimous. At this time, I'd like to introduce our town officials. So could each official please raise your hand when your name is called for our new attendees. To my immediate right is our town clerk, Barbara Serra.
Come on, Bobby. Come on, take him.
Our assistant town clerk to her right is Judy Newton. Our selectman, Chairman Lawrence O'Brien. John Drabinski. William Keller, Jr. Town manager, Maureen Valente. Finance director, town accountant, Suzanne Peterson. Down here at the Geograph. Town council to my immediate left is Paul Kenny. At our view graph, we have Mary McCormick.
There she is.
The administrative assistant to the Board of Selectmen. Rosemary Harvell, supervisor of the Office of Selectmen. Elaine Jones, who manages the legal department. Mark Thompson, our technology expert. The finance committee. Our co-chairs are Martha Raganese and Robert Jacobson. Larry Rowe, vice chair, Sheila Stewart, Ralph Verney, Bill Nealon Jr., Tracy Billick, Michael Grossberg, and Debbie Zerka. Our assistant town manager is Wayne Walker, down here in front, and our treasurer collector, Andrea Tuckelson. Andrea, was it your idea to send out the tax bill so we would get them today? Coffee and snacks are just beyond the folks who checked you in tonight, sponsored by FELS, Foundation for Education of LS Teachers, to broaden education beyond current teaching areas. LS informs me that there's no food or drink in this auditorium, but you may do so in the cafeteria if it's open. We will make an exception tonight if you wish to drink water. I've been asked to make a few announcements. One, volunteers are needed for the annual roadside cleanup, which will be held on Saturday, April 29. Inside the back cover of your warrant is a sign-up sheet with instructions. Also in the back of the warrant is a sign-up form to register your interest in serving on a town board or committee. We have several openings. You can call the selectman's office at 443-8891, extension 382, to find out about those openings. Also, they were printed in the last week's town crier. Please consider how you might lend your talents to town government. Some committee memberships do not require a great deal of time, but all provide valuable contributions. I'd also like to congratulate the League of Women Voters of Sudbury, which is celebrating their 50th anniversary of its founding this year. The League has been an active part of Sudbury life since 1956, sponsoring countless public information forums and projects. It was instrumental in updating and streamlining the rules we now use to conduct our town meeting. And for 50 years, the League has held Candidates Night to help Sudbury citizens learn more about those running for town offices and state representative and state senator. We wish the Sudbury League well on this, their golden anniversary. The Thursday Garden Club of Sudbury is selling quilt raffle tickets for $5 each just beyond the doors through which you entered the building. Proceeds from the raffle sale benefit the club's civic activities and the LS scholarship program. I've been asked by the fire chief to remind you of the emergency exits. The two doors that you may have come through in entering the hall, and you may also enter onto the stage to my right or to my left, and the door in back of the stage is to the left that gets you directly outside. Also, there are materials on the tables where you entered about various warrant articles. There are also extra warrants if you need one. If you forgot to bring the one that was delivered to your home by Boy Scout Troop 61, to whom we owe a debt of gratitude. They delivered not only the warrant, but the 2005 annual report, which is full of interesting information. Thanks also to their Scoutmaster Paul Arsenal and Assistant Scoutmaster Ann McNabb. We also have some guests we'd like to welcome to our town meeting, the Lincoln Sudbury Foreign Exchange students. Could each of you please stand and come to the front of the hall, and we'll wait till the end to welcome all four of them together. Reginaldo Garzi from Mexico. Is he here today? Helen Hawes from England. Jonas Nielsen from Denmark. Simon Warnack from Germany. You know, we're batting 50%. That's not bad. We did as well as the Red Sox did today. Thank you for coming and welcome to our town meeting. Thank you. I also see our state representative sitting in the front row, Susan Pope. And I now recognize Selectman Keller for a resolution in memory of those citizens who have served the town and passed away during the past year.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. My pleasure to make this motion this evening. Whereas the past year has seen some very special members of the Sudbury community pass from life, and whereas these special citizens and employees have given their time and talents to enrich the quality of life in the town, now therefore, be it resolved, the town of Sudbury hereby expresses its deep appreciation for the services and gifts of the following people. Parker B. Alvey. Parker moved to Sudbury in 1951, served on the planning board from 1962 to 1969, served on the committee to study tax inequities 1958 to 1959, was also auxiliary police 51 to 62, was on the zoning bylaw committee 65 to 66, and also the school development committee 1952 to 1953. Monica L. Anderson. Monica served as a Lincoln Sudbury Regional High School teacher from 1970 to 1981. Virginia Anderson. Virginia was the secretary of the Highway Department for 10 years. Edward Campbell. Ed was a school committee member from 1990 to 1993, school committee chairman 92 to 93, and was on the negotiating advisory committee 93 to 98. Elizabeth Crane moved to Sudbury in 1969. She was an election officer from 2001 to 2005. Anita Cohen moved to Sudbury in 1958. She served on the Sudbury Housing Authority from 1976 to 1979. She was on the Conservation Commission from 1969 to 1970, and an election officer from 72 to 86. Cecilia Curran moved to Sudbury in 1968. She was in the tax department clerk from 1974 to 1982, accounting department clerk from 82 to 84, accounting administrative assistant from 89 to 91, and the assistant town accountant 91 to 92. John M. Farron is a Curtis School custodian from 1988 to 2005. Stephen E. Grandy, Jr. Stephen moved to Sudbury in 1949 and served on the Home and Building Committee 1957 to 1968. Fred H. Hitchcock, Jr. moved to Sudbury in 1958. He served on Memorial Day Committee from 1995 to 2005. the Veterans Advisory Committee from 1995 to 2005. Natalie Hoffman was a Curtis School teacher from 1968 to 1995. Ann W. Lair, Sudbury resident from 1961 to 1995, and an election officer from 1966 to 1994. Richard H. Pettengill served on the Finance Committee from 1987 to 1990 and on the Insurance Advisory Committee 1983 to 1986. John Powers, certainly a loss to Sudbury. John moved to Sudbury in 1954, served on the Committee for Preservation of Ancient Documents from 1956 to 1976. So the Committee on Town Administration from 1955 to 1959. He was an election officer from 1960 to 61. He was the moderator from 1961 to 1968. He was on the subcommittee of the Committee on Town Administration on Town Legislative Procedures from 1963 to 1964. Town Historian, 63 to 64. Public Celebrations, 63 to 64. Revolutionary War Bicentennial Committee, 1966 to 1976. As a selectman from 1972 to 1978. Regional Refuge Disposal Committee from 1972 to 1973. He was also on the Wayland Sudbury Subject Disposal Committee from 1973 to 1976. And the Public Health Nursing Association, 1974. I guess for that year. Certainly John did lots of jobs in Sudbury, big or small. Mildred L. Talent moved to Sudbury in 1916, and she was on the Sudbury School teacher from 1923 to 1930 and 1944 to 45. She was at the Goodnow Library as a children's librarian from 1959 to 1974, teacher in school study committee from 1953 to 54. And she was the first ever Miss Sudbury in 1923. I can't help but notice that that would have been the first year she was a school teacher in Sudbury Public Schools, so I think that would make her Sudbury's version of Mrs. Crabtree. And be it further resolved that the town of Sudbury and town meeting assembled record for posterity in the minutes of this meeting its recognition and appreciation for these contributions of these fine citizens to our community.
Thank you. Yes, is there a second? All those in favor, please signify by raising your cards. All those opposed, it's unanimous. Thank you. I'd like to review with you some of the procedural matters, those of you who may have forgotten from last year, and of course for our new attendees. I hope everyone has had a chance to review the warrant and familiarized himself or herself with the summary of basic town meeting procedures and the motion primer. You can find those beginning on pages Roman numerals 2 and Roman numerals 6. Just to remind everyone, no smoking in the hall, and most importantly, please shut off your cell phones. When you're recognized to speak, please give your name and address each time you speak in order to assure a clear audio tape record. If you desire to be recognized, just raise your hand. Do not stand at the microphones on the sides. I will be able to see you in your seat because the lighting here is much better than it was in the old auditorium. If you are sitting near a standing mic and prefer to speak there and I recognize you, you may go there to speak. Otherwise, please wait for one of our Boy Scouts. We have two on this side and one on this side who have each of the runners have a mic. They're handheld, and they will bring it to you at your seat. Remembering that in this auditorium we have long, uninterrupted rows. If you're sitting near the middle, it will be difficult for you to get out. If you raise your hand, I'll call on you, and the mic will be brought to you. All motions of substance, including main motions and motions to amend, should be delivered to myself and the town clerk in writing before they are made. Also, you should give a copy to the folks at the ViewGraph in the front here. When you make your motion or an amendment, you must do so when you're first recognized. You're not allowed to make a motion or an amendment at the end of the speech. Only registered voters of the town and non-resident town employees may speak without leave of the hall. Non-residents are required to sit in the last two rows on my left or my right. I caution those of you who are here because of a special matter of concern to you not to bolt the hall as soon as the vote is taken on that measure. You will be showing your neighbors a courtesy if you stay and listen to their articles just as they have to your article. Please be reminded that if you present or speak on an article, the bylaws specifically state that you have presenters who speak for a total of 10 minutes and speakers for a total of 5 minutes. Kindly planned accordingly, as requests to exceed these limits are not often granted. Presenters, it's very important to remember that although you have been intimately involved in the particular article that you're presenting, those in the audience have not. All they have in front of them is the warrant. So if your motion is in the words of the article, that's fine. If your motion is other than that, it's your obligation to explain to the hall how the motion up on the ViewGraph is different than the article that appears in the warrant. Counting will take considerably longer in our new auditorium because of the very long rows and no idle aisle breaks. So please do not ask for a head count by tellers unless you are sure that I have miscalculated. I assure you that unless the standing vote is obvious, I will call for a head count by tellers. If you wish to vote on an article and you are now at home watching these proceedings on cable TV, I strongly suggest you leave your home well before the discussion begins so that you have adequate time to park, check in at the tables inside the side doors, find your way to the auditorium before the police lock the doors as they must before all votes. It would be unfortunate if voters cut it too close and got shut out of the vote. Also, the percentage vote required for passage of an article is set forth in your warrant. If it's going to be anything different than that, I will announce it before the vote. A brief comment is an order on reconsideration. Given that it was requested twice last year by the losing party, both lost overwhelmingly on the reconsideration vote. There is a very long tradition in Sudbury of only granting reconsideration in very limited circumstances, namely when there were such misstatements of fact that enough voters would have voted differently on the original article so as to change the result of that vote. I've lived in town and been attending town meetings for 36 years. I can only remember reconsideration in all those years succeeding a handful of times. The only one that stands out in my memory where there was a mistake made by the town official on a number that he or she was given to the hall. For the same reason, you've heard tons of people say more than a handful of times at town meetings that there are many town meeting attendees who vote in favor of an article that failed, but still vote against reconsideration of that article. As we move through the town meeting, just to remind you that there's no clapping or hissing or booing or other audible noises for or against a speaker before, during, or after their presentation. Likewise, speakers may not make disrespectful comments, whether directed at a voter, another speaker, or a town official. My job as moderator is to ensure full and open discussion and fair play on each article. Your job as legislators is to ensure goodwill and respect for differing viewpoints. I now recognize Lawrence O'Brien, Chair of the Board of Selectmen, for a State of the Town address.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for attending our annual town meeting. It is the responsibility of the Board of Selectmen to deliver the State of the Town address, and that responsibility falls on the chairman each year. So it is my privilege to report that the State of the Town is excellent. In light of the elections season that we've just gone through, I felt that it was appropriate in reporting the State of the Town to maybe review some of the things that we've accomplished and what we've done over the last few years. So what I'd like to do is pose a question for you to ponder over the next few moments. And that question is, do you think that Sudbury's glass is half empty, or is our glass half full? Over the last 15 years, Sudbury has voted numerous times at the polls and at this town meeting in support of improving and enhancing our community. This willingness to invest in our community has enhanced the quality of life and put the town's future and our in excellent standing. We have a AAA bond rating that has resulted in thousands of dollars in interest savings, and this is due to superb financial management by the town manager, the finance department, and the finance committee. We have also built one new elementary school and renovated and expanded three others. The Curtis Middle School is only 6 years old, and this, the Lincoln Sudbury Regional High School, is virtually brand new. While surrounding communities struggle to get school building projects off the ground with new, lower reimbursement levels from the state, the foresight and planning of our two school committees completed this major rebuilding and expansion program with 65% reimbursement from the state. Our schools are in very good shape and ready to serve our community well into this new century. In the same period of time, voters have adopted the Community Preservation Act, supported the preservation of hundreds of acres of conservation land, the expansion of Haskell Field, and development of our new turf field on Maynard Road, allowing the Park and Recreation Department and the commissioners to expand and enhance the services that will be provided to the youth of Sudbury. Both the North and South fire stations received needed repairs, and we constructed a new main fire station, along with our public works building. The Goodnow Library was rebuilt and expanded into one of the finest libraries in the Commonwealth. With circulation that exceeds 340,000 items per year, it has also become Sudbury's multi-generational leading place with programming facilities and services for residents of all ages. The Sudbury Senior Center also received recognition in the past year as one of the best senior centers in the nation based on its accreditation by the National Institute of Senior Centers. The center offers such a vast array of programming and services that it could actually use more space than it currently occupies. As voters, we have made the decision to invest in our community, and in return, we have been rewarded with substantial appreciation in our home values. While some have cashed out, most of us continue to call Sudbury home. But the board also recognizes that this has created an immense burden on our older citizens. Many seniors have taken advantage of the various opportunities that are currently offered by the town to reduce or defer their property taxes. Sudbury has been at the forefront of this issue since 1998 when the Senior Tax Relief Committee was formed. The work of this committee was the impetus for seniors to rally statewide behind legislation that included means testing and asset limits and was known at the time as the Birmingham Bill. When that bill was enacted into law in 2001, it became known as the circuit breaker and provides a state income tax credit for those seniors that qualify. 5 years ago, at the 2001 town meeting, we passed a home rule petition based on the work done by the Sudbury Council on Aging that liberalized the deferral program. I was going to bust Jack Ryan's chops, but I'll let it go. 5 years ago, we passed a home rule petition, and this liberalized the senior deferral program for Sudbury seniors, and it is a better program than what was passed recently by the governor and the legislature, allowing for the deferral of property taxes by seniors that meet some new and improved standards set by the Sudbury Council on Aging and accepted by the legislature as a home rule petition. Every year, our Board of Assessors submit an article that asks the town to adopt any revisions or changes that will help our seniors. This year, that article is known as number 12. And for 10 years, we have had a senior tax workout program in place that pays enormous benefits to the town, as well as providing property tax relief to a substantial number of Sudbury seniors. This year, in anticipation of additional local option programs being authorized by the state legislature, the Board of Selectmen took the initiative to place Article 2 on the warrant to allow for the earliest possible adoption by the town of any new senior tax relief measures that might have come down from Beacon Hill. Unfortunately, we have not heard anything official from the state legislature concerning revisions or enhancements. Mary, you got to stop. You keep knocking my microphone over. Concerning revisions or enhancements to the statewide senior property tax programs that currently exist. Based on news reports as well as information provided by our senators and representatives and comments made by the governor, senior tax relief was going to be a priority for this year. We remain hopeful that our state government will deliver on these promises, and the board is committed to bringing an article back next year if it deems appropriate. Beginning tonight, we will have the opportunity to build on the foundation that we have completed thus far. Over the next few evenings, we will adopt a balanced, no override 2007 fiscal year budget. We will consider a request to change our current pay-as-you-throw trash disposal program, address the need for affordable and moderate priced housing, and vote on 9 community preservation articles that have been referred to town meeting for your review by the members of the Community Preservation Committee. When we reach the end of this year's town meeting, we will have completed some of the mundane business that is required to run a town. We will also decide as a community what direction the town should be moving in based on the outcome of voting on each of this year's 45 articles. By our account, we believe that Sudbury is a vibrant, desirable community to call home with excellent school districts, tremendously dedicated staff in all departments, and an infrastructure that has been extensively updated. When combined with the hundreds of acres of land that have been protected as open space for passive and organized recreation opportunities, you quickly realize that the vast amount of visioning and planning that is done constantly by many people that actively participate in the process of town government provides all of us with an exceptional quality of life. The results we have experienced is due to the high quality of work done by our dedicated and professional town staff in conjunction with the dozens of citizen volunteers serving on town boards and committees. By any tally, we, the Board of Selectmen, believes that the glass called Sudbury is better than half full and will remain that way for the foreseeable future. Thank you.
Thank you. I understand the Finance Committee will wait until Article 5 to give their state of the statement on the town's financial condition. Therefore, we're ready for to move on to Article 1. For many years, it has been a tradition at the annual town meeting to honor one of our citizens who has performed valuable service for the town by asking him or her to make the motion under Article 1 of the warrant. This year, we honor Ed Gottman. Ed blends his work as a volunteer coordinator for the Sudbury Senior Center seamlessly with his own direct volunteering efforts, so it is difficult to tell where his work as a coordinator ends and his volunteering begins, not just at the Senior Center, but with the food pantry, the fish program, volunteer shopping program, and many others. He never asks a volunteer to do anything he would not do himself. In fact, if a volunteer cannot be found to fill a need, Ed often fills it himself. Ed Gottman is the primary coordinator of the Medical Equipment Loan Closet, a program that has saved Sudbury citizens tens of thousands of dollars over the past 5 years. The Loan Closet provides free use of medical equipment for as long as the client needs it. Ed himself checks and cleans each piece of donated equipment and makes sure it is safe for reuse. He stores the equipment and can usually provide it in the same day that it is requested, often delivering the needed equipment directly to the client at home. Virtually none of these benefits would have been achieved without Ed's consistent efforts. He has an incredible talent for recruiting volunteers and deftly matching them with tasks appropriate to their interests and skills, managing the variety of details for each program. His philosophy of proactively seeing and filling needs accounts for much of the program's success. Just because volunteers are assigned as a friendly visitor doesn't mean that they don't provide rides. Just because they shop for groceries doesn't mean that they ignore a need for home maintenance. Each volunteer program overlaps and enhances the others to form a true safety net for the seniors of Sudbury. The success of this program design is largely due to Ed's own ability to see the need beyond the need and to fill it. Join with me in thanking Ed Gottman.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Article 1, move to accept the reports of the town boards, commissions, offices, and committees as printed in the 2005 town report, or as otherwise presented, subject to the correction of errors, if any, where found.
Does that receive a second? It does. I assume the Finance Committee and Selectmen are in favor of that?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Moderator.
Thank you. All in favor, please raise your cards. All those opposed, it's unanimous. Ed, thank you for honoring us with your presence tonight. We're going to move on to the consent calendar. Please turn to pages Roman numerals 3, 4, and 5 of the warrant. And let me go over a few of the rules associated with the consent calendar. I will call out the numbers of the articles one by one. If any voter has doubt about passing any motion or wishes an explanation of any subject on the consent calendar, the voter should feel free to stand and say the word hold in a loud, clear voice when the number is called. You do not have to be recognized by me. When I say the number, I'll hesitate for a few seconds. Feel free to stand and yell hold. I will then inquire of you as to whether the request to hold is for a question or for debate. If the purpose of the request was merely to ask a question, an attempt will be made to obtain a satisfactory answer. And if that occurs, the article will remain on the consent calendar absent a further request to hold. If the purpose of the request was to hold the article for debate, the article will be removed from the consent calendar and restored to its original place in the warrant to be brought up and debated and voted in the usual way. No voter should hesitate to exercise the right to remove matters from the consent calendar. It is the view of the voters as to the need for debate that is supreme, not that of town officials who put together the consent calendar. Having said that, it is hoped that voters will remove articles from the consent calendar only in cases of genuine concern. In past years, it has occasionally happened that articles were removed from the consent calendar and when reached in the normal course, passed unanimously without debate, thus indicating that the initial removal request was perhaps not fully considered before being exercised. So with that in mind, let's go to the consent calendar, and I'll ask if there are any questions or ask if there are any holds on Article 12. Article 13. Article 14. Article 15. Article 16. Article 17. Article 18. Article 19. Article 20. Article 21. Article 22. Article 23. Article 24. Article 25. Article 26. Article 27. Article 28. Is that for a question or for debate? Why don't we listen, Mr. Coe, to your argumentative question first? Can someone, there's a microphone right there.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Robert Coe, 14 Churchill Street. I guess I'd like an explanation of what the expenditures related to the issuance of burning permits are, given that they are issued by somebody sitting at a desk who has to be there anyway, and that the total amount of effort that goes into it is to write a name in a book and to hand the applicant a piece of paper. I guess I'm looking for a justification for the $10 fee that has been imposed on but as I said, it would be argumentative. And
okay, let's see if we can get an answer, and if you're satisfied, that'd be fine. If not, we'll hold it for debate. Town Manager, or do you want Town Manager Maureen Valente?
I think I'd like to ask Fire Chief Ken McClain to give the background and explanation.
Chief, you can use the mic right here.
Good evening, Ken McClain, Fire Chief. Actually, that's a good question, and we've heard that from quite a number of people this year. We have begun to charge $10 for the annual burning permit that you come to the fire station and pick up. The purpose of that is to try and get into compliance with the open burning law, which for many years we have not been in compliance with, out of all good intentions, but nevertheless, if we were out of compliance. To be in compliance, we need to be able to tell the state and also identify all persons in the town who currently hold a permit and all persons in town who are burning on that particular day. Years ago, we would do that by issuing you a permit, much like you come to the fire station and receive one now, and we would put it in the three-ring binder and hand you a piece of paper that had the rules on it. That worked for a long time, and we also would ask you to call in and tell us on the days that you were burning. But when hundreds of people are going to be burning on a particular day, that became very unwieldy and made it very difficult for us to carry out our primary job of protecting the town through our emergency services. We couldn't be answering the phone all day, writing down names in a book, and then if we needed to find out who was burning in some particular place, scramble along pieces of paper to make that happen. We have constructed with Mark Thompson, our technology coordinator for the town of Sudbury, a system that now allows us to issue you a permit real time. It will eventually be online, but for the time being, we do it in your presence. Make a record of your address, and hopefully, if you're willing to give us your email, so that we can get a hold of all people who are burning on any particular day, as well as ask you to register online or by telephone with automated attendance software that we have acquired and put into place. Over this last weekend, some of you who wanted to burn, I think, were a little bit disappointed because the state had indicated to us no burning. We were able, instead of telephoning 200 or 300 people on any one particular day, to identify those who had registered and limit our telephone calls to either 12 on one day or 18 on another day. It serves the town very, very well. It is money well spent on technology and the labor of people to. We do provide people, extra people to come in and we'll provide a correction. During the busy season, we will provide extra labor for people to help issue those permits. And the system works very well in serving the town.
Thank you. Mr. Coe, does that satisfy you?
Yes, Mr. Moderator, I guess that was a $10 explanation.
Great. And for the record, Mr. Coe, your address is? No. You didn't identify yourself nor your address when you got up to speak.
He did.
Thank you. Also, if I neglect to take a second on the motion, I expect to hear the same answer. Thank you. The next article is 31 on the consent calendar. Hold. Debate. So we're going to take that off the list. 32.
Hold.
Debate or a question?
Mr. Moderator,
what did you say your name was, please?
Robert Coe, 14 Churchill Street. I'd like a precise definition of the term organizations and groups outside of the school community.
Okay. Somebody from the school committee to answer that question, please. Is this the chair, Susan Giuliano?
Not the chair.
No, but it's still Susan Giuliano. Please.
As a member of the Sudbury Public School Committee, this is intended to provide a mechanism that would allow the schools to charge fees to recover costs associated with use by various groups, similar to the revolving fund the library uses for charging for their meeting room, which I think is in Article 15. And we are looking at non-school groups, although we've not yet established the policy and fee schedule, but our general intent is to not charge those groups that are sponsored or associated or affiliated with the schools, including some of the parent-teacher organizations, et cetera, but groups that are not specifically affiliated with the schools might be charged a custodial fee. Many of them actually pay a fee now, but not through the direct mechanism that this revolving fund would provide.
Mr. Coe, you satisfied with the answer?
No, I don't think so, Mr. Moderator. I think I'd like to hear a little more at the proper time.
Very good. We're going to hold 31 and 32 for debate. Mr. O'Brien, would you like to make a motion to take Articles 12 through 28 out of order and consider them together at this time?
So moved, Mr. Moderator.
Is there a second? This requires a 4/5 vote. It's needed to pass. So I will ask all those in favor to please signify by raising your cards. All those opposed. It is unanimous. Mr. O'Brien, do you wish to move in the words of the consent calendar as printed on pages Roman numeral 4 and 5 in the warrant for Articles 12 through 28?
I do, Mr. Moderator. I'll move in your words.
Is there a second? This requires a unanimous vote. All those in favor, please signify by raising your cards. All those opposed? It is unanimous. Thank you. We're now going to move on to Article 2. I recognize Selectman Chair Lawrence O'Brien for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. We move to indefinitely postpone Article 2.
Is there a second? Yes, there is. Mr. O'Brien for presentation.
Thank you. Just briefly, as stated in the previous address that I just made, this was a placeholder article that the selectmen put in anticipation of some activity coming down from Beacon Hill. Unfortunately, there has been none, so there's nothing to present to the town at this time. As I had said in my remarks earlier, should there be any activity for next year, the selectmen would certainly be committed to placing a bookmark again to consider this at that time.
Does anyone wish to be heard on Article 2? Yes, sir. Wait, can the Boy Scout bring the mic for that gentleman there?
Carrie Lynn, 164 Manor Farm Road. Mr. O'Brien, if the state takes action on this next week, does this mean that we will not, as a town, take action on this for another year?
Mr. O'Brien.
Yes, sir. Unfortunately, if we do not deal with it at this time, the only other opportunity to deal with it would be in the event of a special town meeting, and then an article could be placed on that warrant at that time. But not foreseeing that, it would be same time next year.
Are there any other questions or comments on Article 2? Finance Committee, wish to say anything on the article?
No, Mr. Moderator.
Very good. All those in favor of indefinitely postponing Article 2, signify by raising your cards. All those opposed, it passes overwhelmingly. We'll move on to Article 3. Could you give your name and address for the record, please? Thank you.
Jeff Howell, 123 Victoria Road. Mr. Moderator, I'd like to move in the words of the article.
Yes, does that receive a second? Yes, yes it does. Mr. Howell, is that you're moving in the words that appear in the warrant? Is that correct? Very good. Yes, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Moderator. Greetings, neighbors and friends. As you may have read in the article, this article proposes that the town provide town-wide trash and recycling services at the curb of our homes. It will be provided on a pay-as-you-throw basis as the current transfer station operates. It would be funded in part by addition to the tax levy, which is why it's stated in the article it would require a Proposition 2.5 override, and also funded by the fees generated from the sale of the pay-as-you-throw bags. I'll give you a brief overview of how the system would work. The town would bid a town-wide curbside contract to a hauler. The low bidder would provide curbside pickup of trash and recyclables on terms dictated by the town and subject to town supervision. The hauler would only pick up trash bags in the specially marked pay-as-you-throw bags. Residents could purchase these bags at numerous locations throughout the towns. This is currently the case for the transfer station. The bags would cost approximately $2 for each 30-gallon bag, standard-sized trash bag. Half-sized bags at half the cost are available for people who use less trash. Because residents would now be paying on a per-bag basis, there would be a significant incentive for them to reduce the amount of solid waste that they produce by recycling using alternative methods such as composting. The result is increased recycling by the town, lower trash disposal costs for residents who are careful about what they throw away, and an opportunity for better service from the private haulers who you may use currently but who aren't responsible to the town for the way they dispose of trash, the way they monitor the recycling. The transfer station, under the words of this article, would remain open. There would no longer be a fixed fee that you pay separately outside the tax levy. For those who prefer to haul their own trash or dispose of their trash on the days when there's not curbside service available, if they miss their pickup day, for example, or who want to dispose of bulk items or other items that are not part of curbside service, the transfer station would remain a convenient option. As you see in the article, the $870,000 that would be appropriated, approximately 1% of the town budget, includes $100,000 for the operation of the transfer station. The remaining $770,000 would be used to pay the hauler who wins the bid. The numbers are based on the town budget for the transfer station and on the estimates that have been provided to the Earth Decade Committee by two of the major three haulers in the area, consistent with amounts they charge other towns that offer curbside service. By including the $100,000 for the transfer station, the town can then afford to eliminate the transfer station user fee. Transfer station users currently would be in the same position as those who are now going to be receiving curbside service. They wouldn't have to pay any additional money for the use of the transfer station. Why would we want pay-as-you-throw curbside service? There are three basic reasons. For one, it would improve the level of service that we receive. All of us need to dispose of our trash. Secondly, it would save residents money. People who are careful about what they throw away will see a reduction in the amount it costs them per year to dispose of their trash. Thirdly, it is good for the environment. First, the improved service. Currently, residents contract for the service themselves with private haulers on an annual basis. When you move into town, if you decide you don't want to go to the transfer station, you have to figure out who offers the service, call them. Every year you go through the same process. You have to administer it yourself. The townwide service, which can enter into a longer-term contract, The town will take care of the contracting. The town will take care of arranging for the service. Currently, as you know, the town offers no curbside service. Your only option, provided by the town, is to go to the transfer station. With a townwide pay-as-you-throw service, you could go and use the transfer station as you please. You can also use curbside. You can use a combination of both, and there's no duplicative cost. Currently, haulers choose to recycle when and what they choose. They may recycle every other week. They may recycle less frequently. They may alternate weeks. With a townwide contract, the town can accept feedback from residents, work it into the contract that it bids, and the haulers are required to live by that contract. Currently, there are three main haulers who crisscross town, multiple trips, multiple potential safety hazards. Of course, with townwide service, there's the time to plan the most efficient routing of the trucks to reduce the number of vehicle trips. Obviously, it will reduce the number of days per week that haulers are coming down the street. The hauler will come down your street once, or however the town decides to bid the service, but you will be able to reduce the vehicle trips. Currently, no one oversees the haulers. The town keeps track of the general recycling done by the haulers in terms of tonnage, but that's about it. They have to get a license from the town, and then they're free to serve you as individual customers. The town would administer this contract and oversee the service and ensure that it actually provides the service that the contract requires. Reason number two was to save residents money. As described in the literature that accompanies the article in your warrant, the current private hauler contracts cost residents approximately $475 a year. By bidding a townwide contract, there's no question that the town can get a more competitive economic deal. It's been proven in other towns. The town's own private consultant came to the same conclusion 2 years ago. By putting only the fixed costs of the trash service on the tax levy, the costs that the town, in the case of the transfer station, and the private hauler simply can't avoid, like the cost of trucks and fuel, etc., and putting the variable fee on the back, what they call the tipping fees in the trade, the cost actually costs to take the tonnage of the trash that's produced and go dump it somewhere for incineration. It will encourage additional recycling and help people become more aware of how they're spending their money, which will make them more aware of how much more they need to recycle, which will in turn save them money. It's the very model the town implemented in 1999 in order to reduce the cost of operating the transfer station. The town was in a situation where revenues from the transfer station were not enough to cover costs. And the way they solved the problem was to switch to pay-as-you-throw, encourage more recycling, help people reduce the amount of trash they produce. That lowered the tipping fees. That lowered the cost of operating the transfer station and allowed the transfer station to remain open and continue providing service to residents of the town. What's good for the town in that circumstance is still good for the town. We can lower the cost of getting rid of our trash. The costs that are carried on the tax levy, of course, become tax deductible. The more your home's assessed, obviously, the greater deduction you're going to receive. How much savings will residents experience? It will vary depending upon how much trash you throw out. But going with the numbers from the transfer station and assuming that most households dispose of approximately 2 30-gallon bags per week, and which is consistent with what the private consultant found when it investigated this matter for the town 2 years ago, the savings would average around $150 per year per house. If you use 3 30-gallon bags, savings are in the $50 range. Ultimately, though, you yourself are controlled the amount of savings. Only about $140-$150 is built into the tax levy. The remainder of the cost you pay, the $2 per bag, is one you control. You recycle more, you're more careful about what you throw away and how things are packaged, then you're going to save more money. Lastly, it is indisputable that a pay-as-you-throw service like the one proposed in Article 3 and that currently operates at a transfer station is good, maybe great for the environment. When we considered the transfer station pay-as-you-throw program, we were presented with numbers by the Department of Environmental Protection showing a 25-30% increase in the amount of recycling in towns that implemented a pay-as-you-throw program. And people were skeptical. We all recycle. We all think we're good at recycling. But the simple fact is, we can all be better. And what happened at the Sudbury Transfer Station is consistent with what has happened in every community that's implemented PACE and TRO. There is a savings and an increase in recycling of 25 to 30%. There's a resulting decrease in solid waste. It's the only way the transfer station has stayed open, and it is the best way to save money and be good to the environment. A 20% reduction in solid waste for Sudbury's approximately 3,000 households that currently don't use the transfer station, three quarters of the town, would result in a very significant reduction in solid waste, something that we will all appreciate for many years to come. The primary objection, it seems to me, in reading opposition to this article, is that the town does not want to take on an increase in the budget and be faced with a situation where it can't control the costs. But I point out to all of you, we already, whether the town does this or not, face the same risk. Every year, we go through the same process with private haulers. Every year, there are fuel increases and cost increases. I submit that we can all do better by letting the town negotiate the contract for all of us than any one of us can do individually. This program was unanimously recommended by the Pay As You Throw committee that the selectmen had appointed. The town's own consultant pointed out that municipal curbside would result in a savings to residents. I repeat, we can improve the level of town service, we can save residents money, and we can do great things for the environment in the long term. Thank you.
Thank you. Finance Committee, Larry Rowe.
Finance Committee would not recommend approval.
Larry, I don't think you can be heard. Is your mic on?
How's this? Better?
Yeah. Yes.
The Finance Committee does not recommend approval of this article.
Thank you. Selectman John Drabinski.
Yes, Mr. Moderator. I'd like to make a motion here.
Yes?
I'd like to move to refer Article 3 to a committee to be appointed by the Board of Selectmen to study and report back to the 2007 annual town meeting.
Does that motion have a second?
It does.
Mr. Dubinsky to speak on his motion.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. This is a tremendous idea by a really highly dedicated group of individuals which the Board of Selectmen have the greatest, greatest respect for. They've done tremendous things for the recycling in Sudbury. Our main concern is the unintended consequences of a great idea. And I think we really need to look at that and really look at them very carefully. The first unintended consequence is using the tax levy. This is going to cause a 2.5 override, and we just went through a tight budget season where we balanced the budget. We thought of the seniors in town. We really carefully thought this out, and we have a balanced budget. The other unintended consequence is the impact on the transfer station. While clearly the transfer station could stay open this year, as budgets get tighter, there's no guarantee that the transfer station is going to stay open. As we go forward, as budgets get tighter, we are locked into a contract to provide curbside pickup, which may be a great idea, but we may have to cut fire, police, or something else to meet that contractual obligation. Right now, the citizens of Sudbury have options and choices, and the committee will look at those options and choices. And we need to really look at the comprehensive proposal. When we look at what happens in town government, we need to do a 360-degree review of what's happening. While the environment is very important, and we all agree with that, I think we don't want to be shortchanging some critical budgets in town, so we really need to look at that carefully. And I think the other thing we need to look at is lessons learned in other towns. Other towns are actually moving away from curbside pickup and going to more of a fee-based situation, so we need to look at that. And then finally, the consultant which the town hired, which actually the report is probably 3 years old now, did not recommend curbside pickup. He recommended the system we have now. So our recommendation would be to work with the Earth Decade Committee, the League of Women Voters, town Public Works Department, the Finance Committee, interested volunteers in town, and really come up with a comprehensive way to look at this, to look at all the really come up with a comprehensive solution that really keeps the transfer station open. Because the transfer station closed, we're not going to be able to get rid of white goods, we're not going to get rid of waste oil. The put and take system down here is incredible. There's a book exchange, and the system works really well. To have that go away, I think, would be a tremendous mistake for this community. And the final thing is, DEP has a script, a process to go through how pay-as-you-throw should be looked at. And I think we need to look at that. We really have to get all the stakeholders involved and make sure that whatever we do is truly in the best interest of the town, truly in the best interest of the environment, and truly in the best interest of the town finances. So that's the Board of Selectmen's recommendation, and hope that you will approve. Thank you.
Okay, a motion to refer takes precedent over the main motion, so we'll now discuss the motion to refer. Yes, sir. Hang on a minute. Can you just wait for a microphone to be brought to you?
On Papa John's Sock Farm Road, better known as Tucker Young. My point is, there are too many details left out of this curbside pickup. How many items are you going to pick up? The transfer station, there are 7 different bins for recycled material. When you go clockwise, it's metal, cardboard, glass, newspapers, magazines, and junk mail and stuff like that. All this is got class 1 and class 2 plastic, and then another bin for all plastics, which is chopped up and recycled someplace. So curbside is actually going to encourage more disposal of recycled materials. If somebody has a $2 bag and it's not filled with their normal trash, they're going to throw in these incidental items, plastics that just get finished up very nicely and get their $2 worth out of the bag. And that stuff is going to go to a landfill or someplace and turn into waste. I guess another situation is, as a senior citizen, I get a special visit hunt for the landfill, and so that's good for me. I don't live far from it, and I enjoy going there and meeting my friends. And you can combine some of the other things. You have the old tires, your snow tires from the car you sold 3 years ago in the garage, and you can take that down and get rid of them for fix. Your old air conditioner.
Hang on, please. Could you tell us what your name and address is and what your point of order is? Are you almost done, sir?
Yes. Anyway, part of my idea is selfish because it would cost me more money. And the thing I don't like about it at all, more than anything else, is $190 a year. That's going to go up like a skyrocket as soon as these people recycling do the recycling jobs they should and make the separation of these 7 different types of items. Then the thing goes, it's another excuse for waste taxes.
Thank you. Again, we're talking about the motion to refer that you see on the screen. Does anyone wish to speak in favor of that motion or in opposition to that motion? Yes, sir, in the rear.
Yes, John Donovan, Old Orchard Road in Sudbury. Now, I've lived in Sudbury for almost 50 years now, and we usually do things very methodically. This seems like it's too much to swallow all at once too soon. And I agree with Mr. Binsky's motion that we need to look at this thing very carefully, how it affects senior citizens, how it affects what if the hauler goes on strike. What happens then? There are things like that that come to mind immediately that are not mentioned at all. And I think that these things should be discussed and thought about before we jump into something which we may not be able to reverse. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, in front here. Yes, can we have the Boy Scouts bring a mic right over here? Thank you.
Jim Gibbs, 35 Rolling Lane. I urge defeat of the motion to refer. I believe that we're engaged once again in paralysis analysis. This is at least the second time that this has come before the town. I think it's already undergone fairly careful study, and I think we should move. We should vote on the main motion tonight.
Yes, on the side there. To the right, you.
Well, I would like to agree.
Could you just give your name and address for the record, please?
My name is Alan Gaughan. I live on 46 Evergreen Road. I'd like to agree with the statement that we are about to undergo paralysis analysis. Anna and I here are two of the founders of the Lincoln Sudbury Environmental Club, and we've done a really, really good job of increasing recycling in the school. But what good is recycling 6 hours a day when 18 hours of the day when you're at home, you're not doing a thorough job? We really believe that this measure will substantially increase the level of recycling in Sudbury. And there is also reason to believe that this will not be a financial burden. And at this point, I think the people of Sudbury need to decide whether recycling is just something that high school students should do to look better on their college resumes, or whether Sudbury is actually going to be committed enough to maybe put itself out on a limb and try to get this passed. It can be killed in committee, or we can try to do what will help the environment. And at some point, if you say you care about the environment, you have to go out on a limb. And I trust the wisdom of Sudbury's voters.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to be heard? Yes, sir. Can we have a mic over here, please?
I'm Tom Powers of Union Ave. I was a member of the committee that proposed the pay-as-you-pro program in 1999, as was Jeff Howell. 2 years ago, we did make a presentation to the selectmen. We addressed many of the objections that have been noted earlier to support this motion to refer. The recommendation that we made at the time was that the contract with potential haulers be done by the professionals in the town whose job it is to look at all of those details, to consider whether seniors should get a break on trash pickup, to determine the costs and how they would be adjudicated between the fixed and the variable costs of the program. These were all things that we considered and felt should be handled by the professionals in the town. The recommendations were made on the basis of the desirability of the outcome. The implementation was to be left to the town professionals who are handling trash now and know where the details need to be nailed down to work out everything, all of the other contracts in town that are handled in the same way. I oppose the motion to refer. I will point out that we did very good work 2 years ago. The committee has been idle in the interim because our recommendation was not accepted at the time and there was no other program workforce to pick up. Were we to accept this, I presume that the committee would be either reformed or it would be re-invited and a new committee would come and take its place. In either event, the work has already been done. We worked with other towns. We have interviewed other towns that have had programs like this. We do not find that people are moving away from the programs. We find that the goals are being met. And we recommend I recommend that we consider the motion on its merits and treat ourselves as a civilized town that provides the municipal services that civilized towns need.
Thank you. Anyone else on the motion to refer? Yes, sir. Can we have a Boy Scout bring the mic down to this gentleman in the middle? Yeah, that's fine. The mic's not on. Just flip it.
George McQueen, Moss Monroe. We've heard a lot of detail about the funds, the costs. What we haven't been hearing people talk about is the threat that we are under due to global warming. It really should take position ahead of a lot of discussion about the money. We've been told by the professionals, the scientists, that we are nearing the tipping point. We can't waste more time. We don't have it. And I think we owe our children and our grandchildren to act responsibly tonight and take this step. Let's do it. We'll be glad. I thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
I have 25
o'clock. Flip it.
Thank you.
Yes, go ahead.
Ivan Lee-25 Barbara Road. I'm not as altruistic as most people in this meeting room. I'm selfish and I'm cheap. I pay enough now. I'm retired. I'm on a pension at Social Security. And I find that costs go up. And I've been using the, well, I go back to what it was called, Trump. And I find my costs are much less to what is said here. I have to admit that I eat well. My wife will agree with that. So, I mean, we're not starving, but we manage to recycle as much as possible. I'm all in favor of the motion because, if nothing else, it defers its cost for a year at a minimum. And as far as I know, there is no means to opt out because I'd rather continue the way I am because it saves me money. I meet my friends. And I do it, I save gasoline because it's a conjunction with other errors. Thank you.
Anybody else wish to be heard on the motion to refer? Yes, in the rear. Yes, ma'am. Oh, can you wait for a mic to be brought to you? Yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes. There's a mic being brought to you.
James Sanders, 164 Morse.
Speak up. No, it's on.
Mary Jane Sanders, 164 Morse Road. I have a point of order, Mr. Moderator. The lights under the balcony up here are not on, and there are people back here who have their hands up, and apparently you haven't seen them.
Okay, I appreciate that. I did get a chance to see you, but yes, thank you.
I'm waiting.
Okay. Keep doing that. Anybody else wish to be heard on the motion to refer? Yes, sir.
Don Charles, 92 Blueberry Hill Lane. I have a question to the Board of Selectmen about this request to refer. This is not a new issue by any means. Can you explain why you haven't really had a chance to address this issue and do what you want to do between now and next year?
Mr. Dubinsky for an answer.
Yes, sir. We've been looking at the issue, over the last few years, but the Board of Selectmen have been diverted doing other activities running the town. This has not been our highest priority because the transfer station has been working very successfully. The Earth Decade Committee came to us with a presentation and said, why aren't you doing anything? And we said, this is not our priority now, but we will look at it. The article has come before town meeting. We don't feel that the article has been vetted enough, gone through the DEP process of going through the pay-as-you-throw procedures that the DEP spelled out in 2004. There are financial impacts to the town, which we need to really look at. No one has really sat down and looked at the total financial impact of the town.
Sir, let me finish the question.
Excuse me.
No one is, after you've asked your question and you take a seat, and then Mr. Drabinski is answering the question, if you wish to be recognized a second time, you have to raise your hand. Please don't just shout out. I'm sorry, Mr. Drabinski.
There are other issues that arose during the discussion we had with the Earth Decade Committee, that when they looked at some of the financing, they did not include the benefits for some of the employees that they were calculating. So clearly, the process that they gone through to present to the Board of Selectmen was well-intentioned. They did really look at some of the consequences of what they're doing. So we as a board feel that the issue can be vetted, looked through very carefully, gone through the League of Women Voters, public participation, gone through the Earth Decade Committee, gone through the town departments again, just to make sure, is this really what we want to do? And we've already heard from seniors this evening that there's some doubt that this is what we want to do, and we need to get that input before we make a plan that's going to commit the town to an override and commit the town to contracts that we don't know what the long-term the consequences are going to be. Simple as that.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am, in the front row.
My name is Carol Hanauer, and I'm the president of the Earth Decade Committee. I live at 48 Old Lancaster Road. Last night, the steering committee met, aware that this motion might be presented, and we determined that we have no position on the motion. Personally, of course, we hope that the motion is defeated and that the article is brought to a vote and passes. But we believe that it is the best interest of the town that the town makes this decision, and therefore we have nothing more to say until we actually get around to working on the article itself, if that happens. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir, on the aisle.
It seems to me, David Mysterian, 133 Concord Road, I've heard different sides of this argument state unequivocal facts. One side says pay-as-you-throw is a great thing. The other side says pay-as-you-throw is not a good thing. Towns are moving towards it. Towns are moving away from it. As far as I can see, the motion here to defer this is a reasonable one because both sides seem to be quoting facts that are in direct opposition to one another. I don't know how you can take any vote on the issue if you don't have any facts. So I agree with the selectmen that to look at what's going on and to see what the far-reaching impact is going to be is a good one. I believe in saving the environment. Don't get me wrong. I also believe that sometimes if you step out on a limb, the limb gets cut off. I just don't want to be on that limb when it falls, and I'd like somebody to give me some facts so I can make a cogent decision about is this good for my family or not. Thank you.
Thank you. Question's been called. Do I hear a second? Excuse me. That's not a point of order. I'm sorry that you haven't been recognized, but the question's been called. I must hear the question. It has been seconded. All those who would like to add some new information, but for the call of the question, please raise your hand. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 hands. But we must proceed to the call of the question. It's a two-thirds vote, and we'll be voting on the motion to refer. If the motion to refer... No, I'm sorry. We're going to vote on the call of the question to then hear the motion to refer. If we pass the call of the question and we pass the motion to refer, there will be no further discussion on Article 3. Everybody understands that? We're going to move on to the call of the question. All those in favor of the call of the question, signify by raising your cards. All those opposed, we're going to try it again. All those in favor of the call of the question, signify by raising your cards. Thank you. All those opposed to the call of the question. Thank you. The vote is too close to call. We're going to have tellers count the vote. Excuse me. I will try one more time. If it's not going to be overwhelming, then we're not going to have the question called. All those in favor of the question being called, signify by raising your cards. All those opposed? No. We're going to hear more debate. Who wishes to be heard? Yes, ma'am. This is on the motion to refer.
Carolyn Lee, 28 Mossman Road. While I'm not in favor of analysis paralysis, I think that we indeed should be tabling the deferring this motion tonight, because I think this motion is highly too specific in how it wants to divide up how the money is raised. If this were a 100% pay-as-you-throw program with a fixed fee and not something put into the tax base, then I wouldn't be standing up here. But I think that it is dramatically unfair to penalize people who happen to have a higher valued house by raising their rates. We live in a house where the numbers in the book wouldn't compute, but we do less than one bag per week to the transfer station because we recycle everything that can be. And I think that we need to really look more seriously at what it means. I've also stood in my attic window and watched the haulers dump the recycles on the trash side and the trash on the recycle side, depending on how full the truck happens to be. And I don't know how the town can afford to manage them tightly enough, but things like that do not continue to happen unless it is via the pay-as-you-throw. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to be heard? Yes, you haven't spoken, sir. Right over there.
John Reardon, 12 Pendleton Road. In order to make an informed decision on the selectman's motion, I'm wondering if the selectman would like to go on the record and inform the residents of what their exact recommendation is in terms of the nature of this committee, and specifically its composition in terms of its size, which town officials would be appointed to it, and I'd like to make sure that we get an adequate cross-representation of all the interests in the town, and whether it's going to be a requirement, as in some of the other committees that you've already been volunteering on a town committee before you can get on a town committee, so that we can get some fresh faces and some fresh opinions on the committee, and but most importantly, that we get an adequate cross-representation of the views of the community. So if the selectman would please go on the record and inform the community of what their thoughts are with respect to the composition, size, and nature of the committee, then we can make an informed decision about this motion. Thank you.
Selectman O'Brien?
Thank you. I am not in a position to give a direct answer to the size of the committee in terms of number of people, but our past inclination when forming committees has been to certainly bring a cross-section of town. We would would certainly look at the committees, including the Board of Selectmen, the Finance Committee, the Conservation Commission, members of the Earth Decade Committee who have brought this article, and we seem to do very well when we advertise for citizens at large to participate, and we would, depending on the number of applications we have, determine what we think would be an appropriate size committee, but my guess would be somewhere between 10 and 20 might be enough of a range that we would have a good cross-section of the town. And we also have a strong history over the last two or three years of very clearly writing out and defining exactly what the mission of this committee would be, what the work product would be that we would be looking to receive back, and that would certainly we ask for an analysis of all of the potential options, both in terms of pay-as-you-throw and the variations of that, as well as the financing and funding mechanisms as to how those options may operate based on the levy or an enterprise fund or continuing with the system we have. So I think it would be a thorough and far-reaching analysis that would be done.
The only addition I would add to, I know the League of Women Voters this year is going to be doing solid waste issues, and we'd hope to have a member of the League of Women Voters on the committee also.
Yes.
Yes. Does anyone like to add something new to the discussion that we haven't heard before? Yes, sir, in the back.
Kerry Lynn Maynard Farm Road. I'd like to hear from the Board of Selectmen when this committee will deliver their results, because it seems to me that this article has been here for a year. Everyone in town has had a chance to consider it, including all of you people. And so I'm not so concerned about how big the committee is, who's on the committee, but when will it deliver a result?
I think if you look at the motion says the committee would report back at the 2007 annual town meeting, which would be this time next year. And as Mr. O'Brien said, the report would be impartial and factual.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Boy Scout right here.
Susan Crane, 34 Robert Best Road. I have a procedural question for the selectmen. If the motion to refer does not pass, there are two possible implications. One is that people don't like the study committee, and the other implication is people want to hear the vote on the original article. If it does not pass, and the original article does not pass, would the selectmen still be inclined to refer this to a study committee afterwards?
Look, hang on. Okay. Selectman Drabinski.
Well, we clearly haven't taken a vote on that issue, Susan, but we have taken a vote on this. I think the honest answer is the outcome of the town meeting is clear. There's a lot of interest in it. I think all three of us have heard that the town wants us to look at it. I wouldn't be surprised that we would form the committee and go forward and look at the issue. I think, as Mr. Power said, we looked at it in the past. At the time, we didn't think it was acceptable. The committee did a great job, but I think we would probably form a committee and go forward. Right?
Yes. So, Selectman, want to continue, Mr. Keller?
I think we all. I'd like to add to that that I agree with John that if there seems to be interest in the hall this evening, so we certainly don't want to discourage activity like this.
And I'll just join that vote as well.
So they have a vote in the Board of Selectmen.
Okay. Anybody else wish to tell us about new information on the motion to refer?
Mr. Martin.
Yes. Yes.
My name is Eileen Gador. I've been in California since 1968. I live at 214 Boston Post Road in Sudbury. And I just would like to have the selectmen add another consequence. John spoke about two consequences on the motion to refer, and I'd ask them to add a third one. To have them further look at all the assumptions that were presented here this evening. They were assumptions that were talked in terms of people this and people who saved. And I've always found out that, when it's been assumed that people will save, that never seems to include me. And I just feel that lots of people in this town don't fit into these assumptions that were made, to either above it or below it. And I would just like the selectmen or the committee to look closely and consider this as a third consequence to the two that John Jobinski already presented. I also would like to take issue with the fact that I think that people who are against this motion or against the voting on it this evening have been kind of labeled as not being environmentalists, and I take umbrage to that. I've been a recyclist all my life. I've been an environmentalist all my life, and I really don't think that people, or contractors that would come along and collect our trash would sort through it as well as they do ourselves, and would sort it as finely as all the options we have right now at the transfer station. So I think that the people we use the transfer station really are good environmentalists. We sort it over and over. You've heard all the categories that, you know, we have that are represented that we can sort our trash. So I do resent that implication, although I'm sure it was well meaning. I have to just, you know, also I hear people say in these assumptions that, you know, it's going to be savings to the residents. Well, I am a resident of this town, and there are no savings here for me. None whatsoever. So I just would like to have that added as a third consequence to this committee to consider this motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else who hasn't spoken yet? Yes, sir, over here on the aisle.
Brian Clifton, 45 Mill Pond Road. I think the Earth Decade Committee does a fantastic job in town, and I really appreciate in general the work they've done. However, on this article, we debated it extensively last year. It was resoundingly defeated at town meeting. Now they brought it back. We have three haulers in town who do recycling. The problem is not with the people like ourselves who go to the transfer station. We have less than one bike per week, and it's a 15-gallon bike, not a 30-gallon bike. The problem for us is really in the summer with certain waste that would tend to smell, so we have to go to the dump more often than otherwise we would need to. The problem is getting people to actually recycle, to get the haulers to recycle the material they pick up. We're on a dead end, and we have seen in the past, as someone else has mentioned, the recycling vans and the disposal vans meet up, and the picked up recycling stuff just gets dumped in with the rest of the trash. I don't see how the town can possibly police this. And I think if we go to curbside pickup, the recycling rate will go down and not go up, because recycling is available to people who wish to recycle. Those of us who use the transfer station, I think, have a much higher rate of recycling than probably the average person who has trash pickup. And I think it's a human nature. If you've got a 30-gallon bag that's part empty and you decide, well, I don't really want to sort those cans and bottles and things, let's just dump them in the bag. Can't be bothered this week. If you're going to the transfer station, you do recycle them. So I think deferring this is just more study, and if we end up with the curbside pickup, I think the recycling rate will go down rather than up. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Excuse me? Is there a second to the call of the question? There is. All those in favor of the call of the question signify by raising your cards. All those opposed, it's well more than two-thirds. The question is now before us. You see it on the view graph.
as a repeat, if Article 3 passes, if, excuse me, the motion to refer Article 3 passes, we will no longer speak about Article 3 tonight. All those in favor of the motion to refer, as you see on your view graph, please raise your cards if you're in favor of it. All those opposed, let me try one more time. All those in favor. All those opposed. It's 2-1 in favor of the article. The motion to refer passes. We're moving on to Article 4. Chairman O'Brien for a motion. Yes. Yes.
There were several people who have said they've had their hands up to be recognized and you didn't see them. We've had the problem in the past year with people not being seen. I'm questioning whether you have the ability to see people's hands up. I don't know them. It's not you.
I can see. Thank you. Article 4 will be made by Maureen Valente, the town manager.
Good evening. I'm Maureen Valente, the town manager. I move to amend the votes taken under Article 5, Fiscal Year 06 Operating Budget, of the 2005 Annual Town Meeting. By adding to or deleting from line items thereunder, by transfer between or among accounts, or by transfer from available funds, as follows. From insurance recovery to 400 Public Works, $27,675. From abatement surplus to 900 townwide operations and transfers, for an addition to the reserve fund, $81,646. From Article 1 of the November 17, 1997 Special Town Meeting Land Acquisition, Marlboro Road, to 200 Public Safety Fire Department Capital Expenditures, to be expended for the restoration of Station 3 floor in the amount of $77,100. From Article 11 of the 2001 Annual Town Meeting, Route 117 Traffic Light Project, to 200 Public Safety Fire Department Capital Expenditures to be expended for the restoration of Station 3 floor in the amount of $5,000, and move to abandon the Feely Park Restrooms Project, voted under Article 7, Capital Budget C, of the April 3, 2001 Annual Town Meeting, pursuant to Mass General Law, Chapter 44, Section 20, and to transfer the unexpended proceeds to Article 5, Fiscal Year 06 Operating Budget, 200 Public Safety, Fire Department Capital Expenditures, to be expended for the restoration of Station Number 3 floor in the amount of $42,000.
Does that receive a second? Thank you. It does. Ms. Valente.
Thank you. There are three items here that we feel need to be adjusted and added to the fiscal year 06 budget. I'd like to explain each one of them. The first one, on slide 2, moves money from the insurance recovery account to the DPW. The explanation of this, we had a vehicle that was damaged in an automobile accident. We have a check from the insurance company. State law provides that if the insurance check is greater than $20,000, we need to ask your permission to move that money to spend for those repairs. So the vehicle's been repaired, and we have the check. We would like your support to move that money. If it was under $20,000, we could do it without such approval. The second item that we would like to ask you to do is from abatement surplus to the reserve fund. This is putting more money into the reserve fund, which those of you familiar know that the Finance Committee has the authority to spend for unforeseen costs and overruns and problems that happen during the fiscal year. In 06, we have $135,000 in our reserve fund. Most towns our size carry anywhere from $200,000 to $300,000 in their reserve fund, so we know we run tight along that way. This year we have several major costs that are becoming much higher than anticipated, snow and ice. And we've had high snow and ice in the past, but we've had reimbursements from FEMA or something to help with those. There's none of those these years. Those are running high. And our legal costs, especially we're engaged in a pre-active case working with the city of Marlboro trying to resolve the hot book issue. It's been pretty lengthy. We're involved in discussions with DEP, EPA, and a number of other entities. And the costs from those are running fairly high. The $81,000 to transfer into this account from abatement surplus, we recently had a very successful and favorable settlement of a case where a taxpayer was appealing their tax value to the ATV. We reserved this money against that and settled out very nicely for the town. So we do have this $81,646. We'd like, again, to move it to the reserve fund so the finance committee can evaluate the request to transfer money for these significant costs. The third one, which I know is fairly confusing here, last year we voted money under the capital article to repair the station 3 floors, $90,000. We came up with that number based on the cost of doing the same project to station 2 and increased it by inflation. However, when we went out to bid, we found out that through an interpretation of the code now, we were going to have to put in a tight tank up at that station. And that's about nearly $55,000 more than we had anticipated, the cost of doing that. So we, by the time we went out to bid, got those numbers, the capital budget had already closed. So what we do in that case, in this case, is we looked at the unexpended proceeds from old articles. Most of the time we come in on the good side of an article, and we have maybe $5,000, $6,000 less than some of them. The money's already borrowed, so it's not like we can say it's back to the taxpayer. But what the law does provide for us is to hold it and transfer it into other projects, capital projects. So the first two there are unexpended proceeds. I think those were on slide 3, $7,100 from the Meacham Road property acquisition. The other one's from the traffic light. The last one is this project that was voted, as it said, back in 2001. The Park and Rec Commission had been evaluating that project going forward. They've ended up making some minor repairs to the restroom there for a variety of reasons, wouldn't be going forward with the rest of it. So they've made it, we've talked with them, and those $42,000 would be available to re-vote to this project. That would be, I believe, to the moderators, at 2/3, because all of these were originally bonding articles. But that's the explanation for why we'd like to see these additional funds transferred in so we can complete the repair of the Station 3 floor, which was authorized last year. Without the additional funds, we'll have to put off the project and try to reconsider it next year. And it was deemed to be a safety hazard by the Capitol Committee and was approved last year. Thank you.
The Finance Committee recommends approval of this article.
Okay.
Selectman?
The Selectmen support this article as well.
Okay. Anybody wish to be heard on Article 4? Okay. There's actually, we were going to take two votes. The first...
Mr. Moderator, I believe that Mr. Coe had his hand up.
Sorry? Yes.
I'm Mr. Moderator, Robert Coe, 14 Churchill Street. The question about why the Best Moves project was abandoned, that was kind of sloughed over. I hate to think that it was a case of the NIMBYs getting the upper hand or something. I assume that it was just decided that they weren't needed or that the old ones were good enough, or is that... No, it is. I remember when they were proposed, it was supposedly a big need. You know, gonna...
Thank you. Ms. Valente.
My understanding is that it was put together first under the old Park and Rec director, former one, Pat Savage, looking at going forward for this project. I think once Dennis Mannoni came on, there was more consideration. It wasn't as high a priority. A variety of other things happened. I think at the end, and Dennis can help me if I need to add more in there, that putting in lights, redoing some of the things would suffice to bring it up to the kind of condition that they wanted to do it. That's as much as I know.
Are there any other questions on Article 4? I see none. Mark, would you just leave slide 4 up as it is? Leave it just the way it is. This slide requires a two-thirds vote because we're abandoning some property. The rest of the article requires a majority vote. What I'm going to do, rather than bifurcate and count twice and then have a motion to bifurcate, on my own, I'm just going to ask to see if there's a two-thirds vote. If there is, that will be the vote of the entire article. If there is not, then we'll bifurcate, vote by majority on the first, and then the second one will be a two-thirds vote. Anybody have any questions on that? Great. So this is the last slide. Could now, Mark, you show the other three slides, please, which require a majority vote. Great. All those in favor of the motion as it was read, please signify by raising your cards. All those opposed, it gets well more than a two-thirds majority. We're now on to Article 5, the budget. I now recognize Bob Jacobson, co-chair of the Finance Committee, for a general overview of the budget.
You want to make the overview or the limiting motion?
Okay. No, you want to give your overview first? What's that?
I was checking the motion.
That's fine, okay. He's going to give his presentation after the limiting motion. I will recognize the co-chair for the budget limiting motion.
Move that the amount appropriated under fiscal year 07 budget not exceed the sum of $71,777,149.
Does it receive a second? It does. Mr. Jacobson for an explanation.
If you look at page FC9 in your warrants, you'll see a number of $71,756,105. The difference was due to two items that came up after the warrant was printed. The first one was for a few thousand dollars, which was a final assessment or latest assessment for Minuteman Regional Technical School. And then there was an additional $18,000 out-of-district tuition that the town is required to pay for a student to go to Norfolk Technical School rather than Minuteman Technical School because the program that they're looking for is not offered at Minuteman, and the town is required to send the student if they so desire. That's the difference of about $20,000.
Okay. Mr. Jacobson, you want to save the financial condition for the main budget?
Yes.
Great. Let me explain. I set it out in the warrant in the Roman numeral pages, but let me just explain again for those of you who knew at this. For years, the tradition in Sudbury, and it still is to take a motion from the Finance Committee proposing a budget that would be limited to the amount which would be required to finance the Finance Committee's budget proposal. That's the number you see in front of you. This limiting motion will only seek a declaration from the hall as to the overall limit on the budget. A vote in favor of this motion will not mean that the town meeting has voted for a particular distribution or allocation of the total amount as set forth in the warrant. So the reason for this is because of Prop 2.5. If we don't have a limiting motion and then someone votes later on to increase something to above 2.5, then at that time we'd have to have a special town meeting to pass that, and we'd have to have a general election to also vote on that. So that's why for years and years we've been doing this limited motion. So are there any questions regarding the limiting motion? The selectmen wish to be heard on this limiting motion? They do not. Anybody wish to be heard on the limiting motion? I see no hands. All those in favor of the limiting motion signify by raising your cards. All those opposed, it passes overwhelmingly. Mr. Jacobson, you now wish to give your general overview of the financial condition of the town. And after he finishes and before we have a budget motion, I will ask the school committees to give their presentation. Thank you.
good evening to everyone here in the auditorium and those watching on Channel 8. The Finance Committee comes before you again to recommend a budget to the taxpayers of Sudbury. Last year, we came before you to recommend a $3,050,000 override budget to prevent further erosion of town and school services and programs after 2 years of more restrictive budgets. Town meeting voters agreed with our recommendation and the override budget passed. While the override was very helpful, it was by no means an end to the continuing budgetary challenges the town faces. Assuming allowable new growth remains consistent, Proposition 2.5 results in a non-override tax increase to the taxpayers of approximately $1.8 million. While this is certainly not an insignificant sum, one must remember the continuing cost pressures impacting these funds. Incremental insurance and benefits costs, which don't add any additional personnel or programs for the town or schools, will eat up approximately $1.3 million. As many of us have experienced ourselves, utilities and fuel costs have skyrocketed over the past year. As with insurance and benefits, these costs also don't add any additional personnel or programs. Fiscal year 07 is also the first year of new collective bargaining agreements for many of the town and school's employees, none of which have been finalized at this time. Assuming some level of increase and adding in the incremental cost of benefits, insurance, utilities, and fuels, you can see how quickly the $1.8 million gets absorbed. Longer term, increases in revenues from sources other than residential real estate taxes must be realized. In addition, we need to continue to strive for cost efficiencies wherever they make sense. That is why the Finance Committee supports Town Manager Valente's CARE program, which stands for Cost Avoidance and Revenue Enhancement, and can be found on the town's website at town.sudbury.mass.us. And we'll work with her to explore the opportunities for these benefits. While no one individual aspect in the program may be a grand slam, there is the potential for some singles and doubles to be hit, which could have a cumulatively positive effect on the budget. We look forward to supporting her on this initiative. We know all cost centers are engaged in this exercise. However, a document that allows the voters to see the level of awareness is beneficial. Without additional increases in state aid, initiatives to raise revenues outside of residential real estate taxes and significant reductions in the rate of increase of the cost of benefits, insurance, utilities, and fuel, town services will eventually erode, and class sizes and programs be negatively impacted as our ability to combat these forces becomes increasingly constrained. While these issues continue to permeate the budget environment, there have been some positive aspects of note for Sudbury this past year. It was not long ago that there was concern about how much and when, if at all, the state would fund the new high school. In the past fiscal year, Lincoln Sudbury Regional School District collected $35 million from the state towards the cost of the new high school. The district hopes to collect an additional $11 to $14 million from the state sometime in fiscal year 07, once the final audit on the project is completed by the state. Obtaining all this funding up front, rather than the state's past practice of providing reimbursement over an extended period of time, will save Sudbury millions of dollars in future financing costs. During the past year, Andrew Turkelson, Sudbury's treasurer collector, has been successful in collecting approximately $600,000 in delinquent real estate taxes through the application of aggressive collection strategies. Standard & Poor's has reaffirmed Sudbury's and the Regional School District's AAA bond ratings, which allow for reduced borrowing costs. Finally, the Finance Committee is able, with the hard work and cooperation of many town and school officials and committees over a period of months, to recommend a non-override budget to town meeting for fiscal year 07. We have worked diligently towards bringing the voters a responsible budget, maintaining close contact with the cost centers throughout the year so that potential issues can be addressed early has facilitated this. The FinCom is pleased that during budget meetings, each cost center was open to considering what may be in the best interest of Sudbury as a whole and not necessarily what might be in their own best interest. The budget summary sheet can be found in your warrants on page FC9. This $73.8 million fiscal year 07 proposed budget considers growth in both the town's population and school enrollment, and is expected to provide for town services and school class sizes and programs consistent with fiscal year 06. This chart can also be found in your warrant on page FC6. For the taxpayers of Sudbury, this budget is projected to increase real estate taxes on the average home, assessed at $661,000 for fiscal year 07, from $8,957 to $9,293, a total of $336, or 3.75%. This total includes $907 in debt exemption outside of Proposition 2.5 for previously approved capital projects, but does not include the CPA surcharge. The Finance Committee will continue to work with the cost centers on ways to restrain costs and enhance revenues. However, additional state aid for Sudbury is an issue where our state representative and senators need to hear from you. There is, in particular, an initiative originating from Acton that proposes to increase the floor for Chapter 70 school funding to $2,000 per pupil, which would greatly benefit Sudbury. Whenever and wherever possible, your voices and votes are what our legislators need to hear most. The Finance Committee respectfully recommends that town meeting approve the non-override budget before you tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Selectman, wish to comment? No, actually, there's no motion on the floor yet. Mr. Collins for Lincoln Sudbury Regional High School. Mr. Collins informs us that after lengthy negotiations, he has bartered away his right to speak for 10 minutes. He will only speak for 2 minutes, after which I promise to give him another 2 minutes after the budget.
Thank you very much. Keeping in line with Selectman O'Brien's introduction, of looking at the community at through a glass of either half full or half empty. Let me begin by saying that there are a number of ways we could look at the situation at Lincoln Sudbury and say the glass is half empty. Since 1995, we've had a 75% increase in student population. Since that same period of time, we have had an actual decline in state dollars for local education. We have had a significant pressure, therefore, on our ability to provide quality education at Lincoln Sudbury. Despite those factors, we believe we succeeded, and working with the Finance Committee, the Selectmen, and this year with the state government, we believe we succeeded well. Last year, you'll know that we did pass an override, and with those funds, we were able to reduce class size for the first time in 3 years. Unfortunately, this year, we are faced again with student population increases, 3% this year. But because of the state's increased economic condition, enhanced economic condition, we anticipate that we will receive greater revenues this year from the state than we have in the last 3 years. Consequently, we will be able prospectively to add teachers. We will not be able to reduce class size in the coming year, but we will be able to maintain class size based on the agreements that we've worked with the town and with our expectation of increased resources from the state. Another way to look at Lincoln Sudbury's situation from the glass half full perspective is to view our capital costs and the funds that we've received from the state to pay for this new building. As many of you may know, the initial budget projections called for state reimbursement for the community over a period of up to 20 to 30 years. We have been fortunate through the hard work of people in this town and through action on Beacon Hill to be able to receive two-thirds, I believe, of our projected state reimbursement up front. That will save the town of Sudbury millions of dollars in interest costs.
So in keeping with the moderator's request that we limit our presentation to 2 minutes, I guess I want to thank the taxpayers as I leave for working with us at Lincoln Sudbury to provide what we believe is a quality education for the students of Lincoln and Sudbury. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Bill Braun, Local School Committee.
Hi, Bill Braun, Sudbury School Committee. Do I push that? This is the Sudbury School's budget that you can see in the warrant. I don't think it requires any further explanation. The direct budget goes up by $1.33 million roughly. And that's about a little over 5.5%. The benefits attributable to Sudbury School employees go up about a little over 10%, which is consistent with the rate of rise benefits of the rest of the town. The things that go into the budget are the same as they always are. It remains a people-driven business. The access is obviously a teacher in front of a student. So salaries comprise about 75.4% of our costs. Within salaries, you can see that instruction is well over 80%. It's actually over 85% of the salaries costs. And that's about all we really need to say about that. Next. Oh, sorry. If you look at the rate of rise, if you look at the things that really drive the increases in the budget for the public schools, again, salaries being the largest component, they're up by 4.2%. That includes the annual step increases as well as negotiated salary increases. Obviously, the budget in the schools depends on, you know, the number of people that are on the payroll and how much they make and how much their benefits cost. And then the big one that everybody's got that affects everybody's energy. So without a lot of explanation, you can see what drives the increase. This accounts for all but about 100,000 of the 1.9 million or so increase in the Sudbury School's direct costs. I don't need to belabor this. Just if you look at the overall summary of it, the benchmarks, I mean, we do pretty well versus benchmarks. Our per pupil expenditures are pretty good, which shows that it's still a pretty efficient system. The good news in the salaries issue is that people are not necessarily working here only for the money. We'll do pretty well this year with class sizes. Well over 90% of them will be within guidelines. Our class sizes are slightly higher than peer communities. Our special needs, which is a big driver of the budget, our special needs expenses compare favorably with peer communities, and we watch that pretty vigilantly, as you're aware. The outputs are pretty good with respect to MCAS. We're still ranking pretty high. We've met yearly performance improvement goals in 06 for all schools, and we still, of course, have some areas for improvement we want to keep working on, and in particular, we need to work on math and enrichment and literacy, so it's not like there's a lot of complacency there. And the end of it is that, so overall, it was a pre-constructive and collaborative process. I want to thank everybody in the town for working with us. We did put together a non-override budget. There are no drastic cuts. There are still needs. We don't want to pretend that there aren't. And just to make everybody aware that the structural issues involving education funding in the state of Massachusetts affect Sudbury particularly acutely. But all that said, it looks like we're going to be able to get through the upcoming fiscal year with no substantial negative impact serving the school system, be able to retain pretty much the same quality as we present throughout. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Braun. Maureen Valente, Town Manager.
Good evening again, Maureen Valente, Town Manager. As Town Manager, I am responsible for all the town operating departments and for preparing, presenting, and implementing the budget for all the municipal governments. The mission that we have is set forth there, public safety, protection, public assets, and special quality of life, and to advance the board's goals, and to continue meeting service demands, retain staff, hopefully reward their good performance, and comply with regulations and mandates. I know you can't really read this next chart. It's done more to show you. We have 30 different departments and a huge variety of missions and responsibilities that we are supposed to accomplish as a town government. I want to emphasize some points about developing the budget for the town. The process always begins with the selectmen's goals. They set the vision, they set the priorities that the rest of us have to work for. But secondly, to explain again and emphasize how collaboratively the department heads work together to understand and set priorities and deal with limits. When you see them sit and deal with each other, they think they have their issues and they talk to each other and we work it through and say, you know what, that's a higher priority. That's where we need to put the budget numbers beginning to work together. And that there are many stages for review, understanding, and questions. The Board of Selectmen meetings, FinCom meetings, the forum. My emphasis is, at the end, the budget we present to you is very much an agreed-upon outcome, meeting priorities and goals. Our budget priorities for this year, to meet the goals, again, of the Board of Selectmen, to deal with increases in utilities, supplies, and services, to continue addressing areas where there's high expectations from residents, and we just haven't been able to quite meet those right now. Very briefly on the specifics, again, the whole budget was in your warrant. We've put information on the website. I want to emphasize the most important here. We are looking for one more patrol officer dedicated to traffic. This is a major source of complaints, concerns, information that's conveyed to us. We plan to concentrate this officer on areas near schools in the afternoon and evenings. We're already doing it in the mornings. We've seen the results, good results in terms of improved traffic and response back from residents when they see that happening. Public Works, we'd like to add an assistant mechanic position. We have one mechanic for all of our vehicles. So many of them are old, and when they start breaking down during a snowstorm, it's an overwhelming task for the mechanic. More than that, we'd like to do preventive maintenance on these. We all do preventive maintenance on our vehicles with one staff person and all we have. That's something we just haven't been able to do and need to do. We have a major investment in our vehicles. That's where we should be putting some time and attention. Again, under public safety, increased from part-time to full-time. The assistant building inspector, we did have two full-time. We hit the budget crunch a few years ago. We did some working around to try to keep two positions, and part of it was reducing the hours on one. We need to bring it back up. The workload is very, very heavy in that department. That department brings in about $500,000 a year in receipts and has huge demands on it. We need to bring that back up. In the planning office, change a summer intern position to a part-time staff planner. To do this, we're allocating existing money from several items, mainly by taking out this intern. This is a position that will free up our town planner to work on so many of the goals in the master plan, economic development, traffic, a huge variety of things that one person in one person office just can't get done. And the Council on Aging, a wonderful proposal to begin a tax and voucher service, adding $5,000 for that. With that, they've explained to me, and I think it's a great idea, they're going to be looking to leverage that money into other grants and funds to try to bring that program forward. It's a great program. We'll continue with trying to use wise and careful use of our resources, emphasizing the importance of our professional staff and the capital that we have to do to get our job done. To continue the efficiencies and efforts to contain costs, Bob mentioned the CARE program. We'll try to continue to be careful on staffing. We run lower than any town our size. We know how costly it is we bring on staff in terms of benefits. We weigh that very, very carefully before we do it. I'd like to thank you, and I want to recognize, too, and thank the Finance Committee, all the committees, department heads, and selectmen, and you, the residents of the town, for your support and your commitment in understanding and partnering with us to protect and nurture this great community that we're proud to serve. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I recognize Robert Jacobson, chairman, co-chair of the Finance Committee, for the main motion for the budget.
Move to appropriate the sums of money set forth in the warrant under Article 5 in the column FinCom recommended fiscal year 07 for fiscal year 2007, except as follows. Minuteman regional assessment to be $312,280 and other regional assessments to be $63,854. The following items be raised as designated by transfer from available fund balances and interfund balances. From ambulance reserve for appropriation account to 200 public safety, $230,342. From free cash to 900 town employee benefits, $1,475,243. From abatement surplus to 900 town employee benefits, $511,119. from retirement trust fund to 900 town employee benefits to $25,000, from COPS fast grant to 200 public safety to $30,000. The sum of $5,651,772 as set forth as Sudbury Public Schools employee benefits to be immediately transferred and added to item 900, town employee benefits, so that the employee benefits total will be $9,209,472 to be expended upon the direction of the town manager and to authorize the purchase of equipment funded under this budget by entering into lease purchase agreements. Does that receive a second? It does. Mr. Jacobson, you care to add anything else?
No, Mr. Moderator.
Thank you. Selectman O'Brien?
The selectmen support and appreciate the hard work that's been put in by the town manager, the finance committee, and all of the other cost centers over the 4 months that it takes to prepare the budget.
Thank you. What we're going to do now is I'm going to start by reading the budgets in numerical order by title. If anyone has a motion to amend or a question, just raise your hand. For example, I will say 200 public safety. Does anyone have a motion to amend or a question involving 200 public safety? If someone has a motion to amend, it should be in one of two forms. I move to increase 200 public safety to the sum of X and to reduce, for example, 600 cultural and recreation to the sum of Y. The two must balance. The amount of the increase and the amount of the decrease must balance. Or, if you prefer, you can make a motion to reduce 200 public safety to the sum of X. And the reason why you can only make those two motions is because motions to amend is because of the limiting motion that we just passed. Otherwise, it would be possible to go over the 2.5 proposition. A motion simply to increase the line item will not be accepted. We will debate and vote on any motion to amend. We will arrive at the end of this process with a main motion as it may be amended, and we will then vote on it. So, again, any motion to amend or questions involving schools? Is that a question? Yes, sir.
Henry Knorr, Goodwin Hill Road. Last year at town meeting, the town clerk and our able staff had to make vote counts here and in the balcony across long rows of seats. Mr. Moderator, in your introductory remarks tonight, you mentioned the difficulties of both entry and exit and counting votes across these long rows of seats. I believe those concerns are shared by people both here tonight and watching at home. I've been told that I cannot amend line items in the school budget. Therefore, I respectfully request that the Lincoln Sudbury School District Committee and the Lincoln Sudbury High School Administration find the funds needed to create a center aisle on this floor and in the balcony by the time of next town meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Collins, did you care to respond?
Actually, I'd be in favor of it.
I think based on the proposal, you would be asking us to use operating expenditures for this proposed capital expenditure, and I think what you'd be doing then is asking for a cut in our teaching staff. So the way it's phrased, I would oppose it.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody wish to have a motion to amend or a question regarding schools? Okay. Next is 100 general government. Any questions or a motion to amend? Yes.
Martha Cole, 14 Churchill Street. This year, the Boy Scouts delivered the warrant, and the town report is not that big a deal if you wait a week to be in the second half of the town that gets the warrant, gets the town report. But some of us, we got the warrant a week after somebody, after another group, and I was concerned about the job that was for the Boy Scouts. Having been a person who has had two two people in my family who were involved in delivering newspapers. I know what the weight of a second document would be. I looked at it from when I saw it, didn't see any town reports or warrants the first week around town. I began to wonder if the Boy Scouts were on overload. And I was wondering, last year, as far as I know, we were not told that the Boy Scouts would have both of these jobs when we passed the budget. And I was wondering if there's money for the warrant to be mailed in the current budget and next year's budget.
Thank you. Ms. Valente?
Yes, thank you. That's a good question. With the approval of the Board of Selectmen, we did this as an experiment. We saved about $600 or $700 over mailing it. I did make the commitment at the time that we would do an assessment afterwards. I think I might work with Mr. Thompson, try to see if we can put something on the web, maybe where people can vote or express, was it a good idea or was it a bad idea? I think it's just something that we wanted to try. There is money to answer that question in the budget for mailing it next year in case this was not viewed by the residents as a good idea. We did make sure that everyone got their warrant within the legal time, so we hurried up getting it out for the people who got it in their first weekend so that they could get a little early than they would have otherwise if we'd put it in the mail and everybody got it around the time of the second one. But that is something we'd like to make an assessment of. If anybody has a comment or concern, some have already emailed me. I'd like to get that. You can send it to town manager at town.sudbury.ma.us or look and we'll find a way to try to see if we can get more response back from you. Thank you.
Thank you. We're moving on to 200 public safety. Any questions or a motion to amend there? Yes, sir. Right over there.
John Reardon, 12 Pendleton Road. I have a motion to reduce the 200 account by $169,333.
Excuse me. We're supposed to have that in writing, as I announced at the beginning of the meeting. But why don't you, given where you're seated and there's no break in your aisle, we'll ask you to just repeat it slowly so we can write it down and get it on the view graph. Mark, is that okay? Could you repeat that, please, sir?
A simple motion to reduce 200 account by $169,333.
Mark, did you get that? Okay. Does that motion receive a second? It does. Sir, would you like to tell us why you wish to do that?
I just think that we could live with a little belt tightening, and specifically, I think the police department could probably live within its prior year's budget, and I don't think we need more police cars chasing down motorists in town. I think we do a pretty good job with what we have now, and maybe we could stretch our budget like many of us do in our own home budgets by getting another year out of our car, live within the number of people we have working for us, and keep the budget at a reasonable number. That's basically the basis of my motion.
Thank you. Explanation from Maureen Valente, town manager.
Thank you. If I heard the concern correctly, there's several pieces of it. One has to do with the vehicles used by the police department. I think I'd like to ask Chief Pete Stratton to talk about what the program is for acquiring and our experience has been when we put off delaying some vehicle purchases. On the staffing side for the police, we've shown again and again, I think we have about 1.54 police per capita, the lowest of all of the towns surrounding us. It's been a dramatic problem and issue for us. I think it's one of safety for our police officers as well. It's been a goal of the Board of Selectmen and myself to try to actually go in the opposite direction with the police for that. Tamara, if I can ask the Chief just to comment briefly about the vehicles.
Chief Sargent.
Peter Fagin, Chief of Police. On the vehicles, we buy five cruisers a year, and usually by year's end, with the size of the town, we have about 80,000 to 85,000 miles. If we keep them another year, we start running into major repairs. This year, $2,000 for transmission in a car that was kept for the second year. We start running into major repairs. And with labor costs and with the replacement costs of parts, it starts to run into a lot of money. Usually our Mark Cruisers last, like I said, 13 months. And after that, they start breaking down. They spend more time in the shop being fixed. So I believe to put off purchasing vehicles for a year, we wouldn't have the cruisers on the road patrolling.
Thank you, Chief. Anybody else wish to be heard on the motion to reduce the public safety account by $169,333? Yes, sir, over there.
Thompson Drive, Sudbury. While the chief is here, if the chief could please comment, if you could please tell us how many murders we've had the last 10 years, armed robberies, bank robberies, and things like that, to justify the expense.
Why should we have the police force at all? Chief Adjutant.
Chief Adjutant. We haven't had any murders. We've had two bank robberies, and that was 2 years ago.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Right here in the middle, can the Boy Scout bring that mic?
Adrian Sheldon, 48 Mill Pond Road. I think the fact that we have such a great police department is the reason why we don't have murders and rapes and armed robberies in our midst here. So I personally oppose this motion to reduce. Something I would favor as a comment is that I see very few patrols around town. I can't remember the last time I saw a police cruiser driving down my street. So I'm surprised that the cruisers put on so much mileage. That's a comment. I do agree that we perhaps place too much emphasis on catching speeders around town. But I think that the police are an integral part of what makes our community so safe. So I oppose this motion.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to be heard on the motion to reduce?
Mr. Monk.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I neglected to call on the Finance Committee for their opinion. Robert Jacobson.
The Finance Committee opposes this motion.
Yes, ma'am.
Laura Geeson, Pekin Road. I oppose this motion. I would like to see the police officer at Town Center helping the students walk across the Town Center intersection as they walk to and from school. Many of you might have seen me walk every day with my child and my stroller. It is really dangerous getting across Concord Road. We need a police officer there helping the students and the parents getting across there. So I oppose this.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to be heard?
Mr. Monterey.
Yes.
The board would like to be heard.
I'm sorry. Board of Selectmen would like to be heard.
Quite all right. Thank you, Mr. Moderator. The board unanimously opposes this suggestion of reducing the budget. As members of the Board of Selectmen, we do receive many calls, especially at budget time. And one of my favorite lines is similar to the motion that's been made. I know what's going on in town. I read the police log. In the newspaper, the police log is highly sanitized, only reports a small fraction of what our police department works on every day, and the money that is spent is very carefully spent. It's properly deployed, and while we do not have murders and rapes and an occasional bank robbery, there are many other issues that go on in town that are confidentially reported for the protection of those that are involved, to the Board of Selectmen, to the town manager, and I can tell you that there's an awful lot going on in town that does not involve traffic stops, and you'd be happy to know that when you dial that phone number, the Sudbury Police Department will be there to respond in quick fashion, whatever the issue might be, and we would strongly urge defeat of this amendment.
Okay. Anyone else wish to be heard on the motion to reduce? I call the question. Well, there's no need because no one wishes to speak. All those in favor of the motion as it appears in the view graph, please indicate by raising your cards. 1, 2, 3, 4. Thank you. All those opposed? It's defeated overwhelmingly. Anybody else wish to comment, wish to have a motion amendment on public safety 200? I see none. 400, public works. Yes, sir. Can we get a mic over there?
Kerry Lynn Maynard, Farm Road. Just curious to know whether we have enough money in the budget to fix the potholes, including the one that's outside the high school.
Marlene Valente, town manager, or do you wish...
Whenever there's a pothole, call it into the Public Works Department, and we'll try to get on it as quickly as possible. We do know many of the roads, though, are in old and crumbling shape, and we've got a pavement management program we're trying to move on as best we can. We just received our allotment from Chapter 90 from the state notice. For the first time, it's up over $400,000 in a while. It was down to less than $200,000, and we carry a very small amount in our budget. If you compare us to what we spend on roads to towns around us, it's small. But if, again, anyone who has one, please call them in, email them in to the DPW, let us know and when the season so we can get at them and be able to fix them. Thank you.
Anyone else on 400 Public Works? I see none. We're on to 500 Human Services. I see none. 600 Culture and Recreation. Yes, ma'am.
Mara Houston, Peckham Road. Does the recreation budget account for the proposed artificial turf surfaces being proposed at the high school?
Selectman O'Brien?
Yes, no, that's a separate article to come later in town meeting to be appropriated through community preservation funds.
Thank you. Anybody else for 600 Culture and Recreation? Okay. So we're on to 900 Town Employee Benefits. So 900 Town-Wide Operations and Transfers. I see none. So we're now, can we put the main, this is the main motion on the budget. That's slide 3. Can we get them all in there, Mark, or one at a time at least? There's slide 1, 2, and 3. Anybody have any questions? We're ready for a vote. All those in favor... Was it on the video? I have no idea. Mark, can you? Does this one of those slides show debt service? Do you want to change something that's on that video? Excuse me, we'll be right with you.
See somebody with a spray vest. It's good for the car, guys.
It's not a car. What is this? Okay. So we want to just add the minimum and we can just stay on check. No more on check. That's great. Ms. Valente just pointed out that I neglected to ask if anyone has any questions or motions to amend on the item before the bottom line on the budget on page 4, which is debt service. Does anybody have any motion to amend or a question on that? Yes, ma'am.
Carolyn Lee, 28 Mossman Road. We heard earlier that thanks to the goodness of the state and our negotiating skills that we're getting a whole bunch of money for the high school back early. Is that going to repair and reduce debt service and when and how?
Molly Valente.
Yes, that's already been factored in. If you look back at the original projections, we should have been having higher debt service, but because of the way this works out, we have lower, but that has been factored in.
Thank you. Any other questions on debt service or motion to amend? I see none. We're back to the main motion. All those in favor of the main motion, as it, this is the main budget motion, as it appears on the view graph, please signify by raising your cards. Thank you. All those opposed? It passes overwhelmingly. Thank you. I promised LS 2 minutes to make a statement since they were so brief in their budget statement.
Very quickly, let me introduce Eileen Glowski from the Lincoln Sudbury School Committee. Yeah.
I appreciate it's late, but I really wanted to take this opportunity to honor someone who is retiring from Lincoln Sudbury, a big part of the management team. Pauline Passy has been our chief financial officer, essentially, as the business director and finance manager and treasurer at Lincoln Sudbury since 1989. What I can assure you is the best compliment that I can pay to her is that she spends our tax dollars as if they are her own. And without her skill, I think negotiating the construction project would have been incredibly difficult for us. So, Pauline, I'd like you to come up here. I have a citation from State Treasurer Cahill honoring you for your work. We thought that was appropriate given that you are our finance director and treasurer, and I hope you all will just join me in thanking Pauline for her service here.
Thank you very much. Article 6, Solid Waste Disposal Enterprise Fund Budget. Robert Jacobson, FinCom co-chair, to make the motion.
Move to appropriate the sum of $267,803 for the Solid Waste Enterprise Fund for fiscal year 2007 and further to authorize use of an additional $24,000 of Enterprise Fund receipts for indirect costs, such sums to be raised by $291,803 in receipts.
Does it receive a second? It does. Mr. Jacobson. Do you wish to make a presentation?
The Finance Committee is in support of this motion.
Great. Board of Selectmen, John Drabinski.
Board of Selectmen supports this article. This is basically the funding mechanism for the transfer station, the put and take, and the recycling facility down at the Boston Post Road.
Thank you. Anybody wish to be heard on Article 6? Yes, sir. Can we get a mic right over here? Actually, if you come in front, come on in front, and you can pass it straight back. Thank you. So keep coming. Could you stand up, please, sir? And whenever I call on you, it would help the Boy Scouts if you could stand, and then they know where to bring the mic.
Hi, Adam Miller, Knobscott Road. I'm just wondering what accounts for the significant decrease in the last year in the fund.
Ms. Valente?
Last year we set aside funds to buy a roll-off truck, is that we call it, the truck that we use to take the materials to be disposed of. It was a one-time capital item paid for, and now we're back down to the regular budget.
Thank you. Anybody else has any questions or comments on Article 6? I see none. All those in favor of Article 6 signify by raising your cards. Thank you. All those opposed? It passes overwhelmingly. We're now on Article 7, Pool, Fiscal Year 07 Pool Enterprise. Robert Jacobson for motion.
Move to appropriate the sum of $436,713 for the Pool Enterprise Fund for fiscal year 2007, such sum to be raised from $430,000 in receipts and use of retained earnings of $6,713 of the enterprise, and further to authorize use of an additional $48,615 appropriate under account 900, Town Employee Benefits in Article 5, Fiscal Year 07 Budget for Indirect Costs.
Does that receive a second?
It does. Mr. Jenkinson, you?
Finance Committee recommends approval of this article.
John Drabinski, Board of Selectmen.
Yes, Mr. Moderator, thank you very much. The Board of Selectmen support this article. This is basically the funding to support the operation of the pool. It's a tremendous facility for the town, so we recommend your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody wish to be heard on Article 7? I see none. All those in favor of Article 7 signify by raising your cards. All those opposed, it passes overwhelmingly. Article 8, Kristen Rapinian, Chair of the Capital Improvement Planning Committee, to make a motion.
I love going last. Move to appropriate the sum of $285,095 for the purchase or acquisition of capital items including equipment, building improvements, software, and computer-associated costs, and to authorize one or all acquisitions by entering into lease purchase agreements.
Thank you. Is there a second?
There is.
Ms. Rupinian?
Thank you, Mr. Moderator, and good evening. I'll try to be as brief as I can be. I just got a new phone. I don't know how to run that, so obviously I wouldn't know how to run this. My kids can tell me how to do it, though. Thank you. The mission of the CIPC, the Capital Investments Committee, is under the Mass General Law, Chapter 41. It calls for an annual review of the town's capital items. And what we do is we study, evaluate, prioritize, and recommend an annual budget for the tangible assets and the projects which define, by definition, have a useful life of at least 5 years or have a single-year cost of $10,000 or a multi-year cost of $100,000 or more. Okay, I stink at this. The recommendations by the committee for FY07 came from being given a budget of $285,000. We were advised and took very seriously recommendations not to unintentionally or intentionally throw the town into an override or a capital exclusion scenario when reviewing the recommendations and the projects. The cost of these projects is factored into the balanced budget under the Proposition 2.5 limits. And the budget is recommended by the FinCom, to the FinCom by us, and to you by the FinCom after they've reviewed our recommendations. The 7 projects recommended in this budget are as follows. There were 84 projects, by the way, that were requested by the town departments. 32 made it to the final cut. Out of that final cut, 32, we have wound up with 7. So there were an awful lot of projects that did not make it. Quickly, the projects are the building department, public works, information systems, the pool, the town manager's budget for a postage meter, Sudbury Public Schools and accounting, and the tax collector. And before I give the details on these, let me just mention why these particular projects are selected and the criteria for the projects that we relied on selecting for the funding for 07. The 3 projects for that are public safety priorities were the DPW, building improvements, and the pool gutters at the Fairbank Community Center. 3 software projects will contribute significantly to efficiencies by automating routine tasks, permitting, human resources, and tax collection software. 2 projects will address issues noted by the town's auditors, the human resources software and the tax collector software. 1 project shows leveraging of funds by working with another entity, the Fairbury Public Schools, which is the human resources software project. And 1 project needs a federal mandate, which was the postage meter. the town building projects, the past committees of the CIPC have determined that a reoccurring amount should be appropriated in this budget for building improvements by the building department to use for any of those improvements to maintain our town buildings. Just to give you sort of a background here, the Fairbank Community Center that you see now was converted in 1989 from a school. The Flynn Building that we do business in is 100 plus years old. The parsonage where the selectman's office was is 300 plus years old, and the town hall is 70 plus years old. The police station, while being retrofitted in 1981, is 43 years old. So the age of these buildings requires us to do many, many maintenance projects on them. What we didn't want to do was to be specific to the building department as to what the monies could be used for. They would include, but aren't limited to, roofing, siding, structural repairs, window replacement, HVAC repairs, and paint, etc. When you defer the maintenance to these buildings, it increases the risk, obviously, of more costly repairs, and the asset continues to deteriorate. This is one, it's not a great picture, but this is an example of the kind of work that needs to be done. This is the town hall garage doors as you go underneath the town hall. The fire trucks used to be kept here. Now we have our fire department. But what we do have here are our voting equipment, the voting booths, and other small DPW equipment that we keep there. This protects the equipment. If we have the new doors, which is estimated $15,000, it also improves the appearance of the building and helps the building become more energy efficient. It has been fixed so many times and patched that it's not worth repairing any longer. Replacing the four DPW vehicles, the estimated cost is $104,200. You'll see that these are the two-ton, the one-ton trucks. We have a rotating plan. The DPWs worked hard with the town manager to develop a plan to rotate the equipment. When we don't use the money, rotate the equipment, everything becomes backlogged. We'd like to give the DPW director and the town manager some flexibility so that if in a year some other vehicle should happen to break down or require some type of maintenance, that they have that flexibility. We can switch over to that one so that we don't create this backlog that seems to have happened over the past. We're trying to get away from leasing. It's not something that anybody really wants to do, but outright purchase uses up all the available funds, so we decided to go ahead and lease purchase some of this. This is one of the projects that the committee got very excited about, actually, and it's kind of odd to become excited about permitting software, but it really does, it's a very cool product, and it's great. It automates virtually everything regarding permits, talking between departments, the homeowners, the inspectors, the inspection scheduling. And this also has an online component so that when a homeowner is looking to find out the status of a particular project, they will be able to go over the internet. We're also looking to grow this so that you can make your simple payments for permits via the internet. And there's a whole lot more relative to that, but I just don't want to go into it because it's late. But this is the replacing the tile and concrete gutter system at the pool. And if any of you have ever used the pool at the Fairbank, you'll notice that the floor has started to warp, and they have jerry-rigged some of the tiles to fix them. And over the course of the years, people running, they may trip or they pinch their toes. And it has gotten to the situation where it becomes a safety hazard. I don't know how many people here know that the Fairbank Center, the pool in particular, is used very heavily by not only youth groups, by seniors, by the schools, by the K-8 school swim teams, but the LS swim team uses it, and I think three or four other swim teams from other communities also use that pool. So it's very heavily used. It's been very heavily trafficked, so it's time to change the gutters, and it's been repaired many times. The estimated cost for this replacement is $30,000. The postage meter. this was not a real fun one to look at, and you know, I don't know how anybody can get excited about a postage machine, but this was a federal mandate. This is something that the town has to do in order to comply with the federal mandate to have its automated, I don't remember what it is called, the analog brought up to digital. If we purchase the postage machine, it allows the town to continue to process mail in-house. If we weren't to purchase this machine, we would probably have to go out of town to another house to do all of our mail. Town business with its many legal deadlines and requirements has to be handled promptly and often requires special handling, for instance, for certified mail. There's been too much room, there would be too much room for mistakes happening if we were not to replace this postage meter. And this is a human resources data conversion project. We did this in a joint project with the Sudbury Public Schools. They were willing to pay half because they need it for their time and attendance. The implementation expands the use of the software system that's already owned by the town and used by the school and town for payroll and limited personnel functions. It replaces current time and attendance software systems used by Sudbury Public Schools, which is now obsolete and not supported. It provides a way to track compensated absences, for instance, sick time and vacation time. The auditor strongly recommended this, and we listened. It enhances the current payroll functionality, requiring fewer manual calculations for changes for new hires and terminations, and it includes the payroll projections, functions for budgeting purposes. It also integrates personnel functions with payroll. It reduces duplicate entry to various personnel databases that are currently kept through town. The town and the Sudbury Public Schools currently own the Munis software system, but we need a one-time conversion to be able to use the functionality that is there for this project. Acquiring the new tax collection software. This is an estimated cost of $62,000. We're looking for $15,000 for the first year of a lease purchase. While the CIPC thought maybe we should try to purchase the entire thing, the finance committee decided that we're going to try to go in for a lease and see how we do. The problem is that this is 15-year-old software and is supported by one man on the West Coast, and that's it. So if anything were to occur, the man left the business, we would be left high and dry without anything. So it's necessary for us to move forward and get this new software. The project will enhance security, reliability, reporting capability, and integration with the accounting offices. It minimizes data entry time and reduces potential for errors in the collector's office. And it also has expansion potential for online billing information and payment. I think one of the things that we looked at when we were talking about all of these projects is what is its expansion capability? Does it integrate with current software that we already own, which is very important for us. All of these things are on the Munis platform, and so they're building together on that, and so we can add into that as time goes by. And in conclusion, almost 10:30. The CIPC is concerned about the temptation for our projects. We said this before, and you've probably heard it many times, but we find that if the capital projects go unheeded, first of all, we run the risk of consequences from failure of that particular capital. If something breaks down and we don't have the ability to fix it or purchase something else, then we're stuck. We also continue not to avail ourselves of automation that saves staff time and reduces errors. And if we don't address issues raised by our auditors, again, we will have trouble and it will continue. We wish we had more funds available. Believe me, we had a book that was this thick, full of very worthy projects that were asked of us by the town departments. But these particular ones that you saw tonight achieved the highest priority in regards to safety issues, public safety issues, need, and the things that were recommended by the department heads. And so having said that, the CIPC thanks you all for hearing us, and we urge support of this capital budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rapinian. Finance Committee, Martha Raganes.
The Finance Committee recommends approval of this article.
Board of Selectmen.
Board of Selectmen supports approval of this article.
Okay. Anybody wish to be heard on Article 8, Capital Budget? I see no one. This is not a two-thirds vote because there's no borrowing here. This will be a majority vote. All those in favor of Article 8, signify by raising a card. All those opposed, it passes overwhelmingly. We're now on Article 9, our Board of Selectmen, Lawrence O'Brien.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. We move to indefinitely postpone.
Is there a second? There is. Mr. O'Brien?
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Just a few notes as to this decision. Tonight, we ask you, town meeting, to support our request to indefinitely postpone action on this article. When it was originally submitted, this article envisioned asking town meeting for approval of funds for the design of a new police station. However, we would have also needed voters to approve an override for an anticipated $600,000 for these services. As the selectmen had determined that they did not want to see a ballot question, if at all possible, for an override this year, we are going to ask that this be temporarily delayed, but it is still a critical project. As you just heard Ms. Rupenian say, the police station is currently over 40 years old and in desperate need of replacement. Some history on this project. At the 02 town meeting, we presented the results of the master facility study, noting that there were three town-owned buildings that need major, that have needs for major attention: the police station, the Fairbank Community Center, and Town Hall Flynn Building Complex. We also noted that we have done three major projects in the past 15 years, the fire headquarters in 90, the Goodnow Library in 95, and the DPW building in 2001. We have developed a facilities capital plan that continues spacing major projects every 5 to 6 years apart, so that before we start on one project, the debt from the oldest one has been retired or nearly completely paid off. If we wait longer than that before starting the next project, the project's back up, and then we need to deal with expensive repairs and maintenance, such as roofs and other items on old buildings that continue to deteriorate. Of the three major projects, the police station is considered the most critical town facility that needs attention, and we should get started on it. As a first step, town meeting in 04 approved $25,000 for a feasibility study to identify the best site for a new station under the able direction of the Permanent Building Committee. The Permanent Building Committee has worked with staff and spent the past year evaluating potential sites, including evaluating if the current site would be possible to build a larger station, and it is determined that it is not. The best site to emerge from preliminary analysis is near the fire headquarters on town-owned property on Hudson Road. Preliminary information is promising as to the capacity of this site to handle this additional facility. Gregory Carroll of the Carroll Group in Hoppington, who is a specialist in Massachusetts public safety projects and the architect of the Sudbury Fire Headquarters, was hired to perform the feasibility study. This will consist of program development, site evaluation, and preliminary design, and outline specifications and budget development. Therefore, sometime in the next year, probably at the 07 town meeting, we'll be asking for funds to continue the process and report thoroughly at that time.
Co-chair of the Finance Committee, Martha Raganese.
The Finance Committee recommends that we indefinitely postpone this article.
Anybody wish to be heard on the motion to indefinitely postpone? I see none. All those in favor signify by raising your cards. All those opposed, it passes overwhelmingly. Article 10, unpaid bills. Suzanne Peterson, town accountant, to make the motion.
Move to indefinitely postpone.
Does that receive a second? It does. Anybody want to say why? Because we have no unpaid bills.
We have no unpaid bills.
There you go. Finance Committee?
Well, the Finance Committee supports the indefinite postponement of this article.
Board of Selectmen, Mr. Keller?
The selectmen are pleased to acknowledge that we have no unpaid bills and urge
anybody wish to be heard under the no unpaid bills column. All those in favor signify by raising your cards. All those opposed, it passes. Article 11, Stabilization Fund, Selectman Keller.
Again, we move to indefinitely postpone.
Let me see the second. It
does. Mr. Keller?
And again, the town does maintain a stabilization fund. It has adequate funds in it right now. We do not require any additional funds there presently, and so we ask to indefinitely postpone.
Anybody wish to be heard on the motion to indefinitely postpone before I ask the Finance Committee if they have anything to say? There, Mr. Nealon.
Again, the Finance Committee supports indefinite postponement of this article.
Yes. Somebody is pointing somewhere. Somebody wish to be heard on this article? Yes, sir. Way back there.
Hilton Jones, Lorraine Circle. Just how much money is in the fund?
How much money is in the fund? Anybody can answer that question? Suzanne Peterson, our town accountant.
We have $1,579,185.
Could you repeat that slowly, please?
$1,579,185.
Great. Anybody else wish to be heard on the motion to indefinitely postpone Article 11? I see none. All those in favor signify by raising your cards. All those opposed, it passes overwhelmingly. It is, my watch shows 10:30. We, unless the audience would like to keep going, do I hear, let's see, to 7:30 tomorrow night?
So moved.
Great. Is there a second? All those in favor? All those opposed? It passes. Thank you. Thank you all for staying with us. We'll see you tomorrow night at 7:30.
I get to coast now. Yeah.